about.
When you're ready to launch out into the unknown, possibly the best place to begin is in a nursing home or a care center for the elderly. One reason is simply this. The elderly really receive you quite well. I think it's because they already know how vulnerable they are. They're lonely, and they long for touch. So as clowns, we take seriously what Jesus said in Matthew 25. I'll put this in my own words.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
B.I.G.
I'm like sticking out my tongue a lot and stuff like that. And like dancing with teddy bears and stuff like that. And yeah, it's pretty cool.
God damn it.
Sometimes I just love to chill and watch TV.
Yeah.
You know, like that. Like I get so excited. Does anybody else like get excited just to get in bed and get warm and fuzzy with your blankie? Yeah.
I loathe you in ways that are unquantifiable.
And now.
Hey, man, where are you going? You're missing the best part.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It is a brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Wednesday, and it's the 9th of July. Lisa, did you watch the World Cup yesterday?
I heard about the World Cup yesterday. I did not watch it.
This is a semifinal, which means there's only four teams left. And Brazil is the host.
Yeah.
And has been expecting to win the World Cup for since it was announced they were going to be the host. They've won it more than any other country five times. So they're playing Germany, and it gets to be about 10 minutes in, and Germany scores. And everybody in the stadium was just completely bombed. And I was there at a Brazil game mm-hmm. when I went. Those people, their very lives depend on their team winning. It's crazy
gotcha.
To see people in the crowd sobbing uncontrollably.
Oh, my God, really?
Yeah. And that was just a tight, you know, a close game. So Germany scores. And then a couple minutes later, Germany scores. So now it's 2-0. And then Brazil tried to mount a comeback, and then Germany scored. So now it's 3-0. First half. So then Brazil tries to, you know, get their defense together and everybody get organized, and then Germany scored.
Oh, God. People must be gouging their eyes out at this point.
And, of course, this is a sport that Ralph always complains about, and sometimes rightfully so, that it's 0-0, 1-0.
Right.
Not enough goals. So about 18 minutes later, Germany scores.
Oh, God.
They scored 5 goals in about 18 minutes.
What the hell happened?
I don't know. It just looked like Brazil was so excited to win the World Cup that once they realized that they were getting destroyed, they fell apart.
Oh,
nobody
man.
Was playing defense. Nobody was doing anything. Ended up 7-1.
Is that a record?
Yes. It's all kinds of records,
wow.
especially when you talk about the semifinals of the World Cup.
Yeah.
You have four teams left. Most of the time, all four of those teams are great. But 7-1.
I hear there are very big political shifts happening because of this game, because people were so upset about the money being spent on the World Cup.
Well, they were from the very beginning, yeah.
But the idea that they could win might have let all of that die down, but now it's just
might have helped a little bit.
A little bit.
Having been there, those stadiums are amazing, and they are 5 feet from the slums. So
yeah.
I can see why they would be a little bit
upset.
Yeah,
and then they're just going to be empty.
Yeah, so now they just get to look at that giant monolith that just nobody's using anymore.
Oh, my gosh.
But 7-1.
So are they out?
Oh, yeah.
That's
oh, yeah.
It.
It's a semifinal. So,
all right.
So now Germany moves on to the final. And Brazil has to play in the – they do have a third-place game. So the loser of yesterday, which was Brazil, plays the loser of today, which is Argentina and the Netherlands.
The Netherlands. That's got to be a demoralizing game.
The third-place game always sucks.
God.
But for Brazil,
yeah.
Oh, my God. Everybody was saying, oh, Brazil's going to win because it's in Brazil. There's no possible way anybody else could do it.
Now, this isn't the kind of thing where the players are going to be afraid to show their faces or anything, is it?
I don't know. It's not Colombia, if that's what you're asking.
Yeah. Is that where that happens?
In 1992, 94, I don't remember, when the World Cup was in the United States, Colombia, that team was run by drug cartels, literally. And a guy scored an own goal. So he was trying to play defense, and he scored on his own team.
Yeah.
His own, and died. Got killed.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah. I don't think
that's passion.
I don't think that's the way Brazil is, but man, if it was ever going to happen, 7-1. Oh, my God.
I might take a long vacation.
I've never been happier to be out of a country than I was
no
yesterday.
Kidding.
It's like, thank God I'm gone. That would have sucked. 7-1.
Yeah, that's brutal.
It's like the most goals scored in whatever. It's Brazil's never lost by, you know, all of those kinds of records were just going crazy.
Oh,
and it was,
my God.
I think it was 6-0, 5-0 or 6-0 at half. So I don't know what you say as a coach when you go in at halftime. All right, guys, come on now. We can.
Let's buck up.
We can play hard and do this. Come on, everybody. Let's go do it.
Dude.
Yeah, they just got demolished. So
sad.
Bad news for them.
Yeah.
Good news for me that I'm not there. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show. We played you yesterday the song The 4th of July.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a good song on one hand. And on the other hand, it might be the best song ever.
Love the lyrics.
It's just stupid beyond words.
Yeah.
Can you pull it up, Chip? And we're going to talk to Rosa G. We're going to talk to the person.
The creator of this beautiful thing.
The creator and the singer of the 4th of July.
Incredible. It's the time of the year again. July 4th is here. Let's start. Love the 4th of July. Love the 4th of July. I do it up. Big on the 4th of July. Love the 4th of July. Love the 4th of July. The neighborhood's grilling, chilling outside. Can you feel it? Is that summer glory when I get to celebrate USA's story? Turn up and day's just starting. I brought a picnic. This cheese is a party.
Yes. So anyway, Rosa G on the program today.
Awesome.
Very excited about that. Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage.
Yeah.
Saw the Transformers Age of Extinction over the weekend.
You know, in spite of what everyone said, you went and
yeah,
Dave went.
I know.
And I know. Then you're all like,
and Ralph
that
went.
Was real. And Ralph,
well,
that shocked me.
Here's the thing. If you're in the mood to see a movie and you have 3 hours, which is basically what it takes to, you know, get
right
in your car and drive down and all that kind of stuff, then you're sort of at the mercy of what's showing right now as well.
There's got to be one other thing that's better.
You would think, but I liked all three of the other Transformers movies. I didn't love them. Like, the last one was just intolerably long.
Yeah.
It was about 10 hours long. But this one was such an amazing step down in quality.
That's saying something.
And it was line after line after line that was just absurdly
cheese
stupid.
Cheese.
It was crazy bad. So we're going to take your calls because a lot of people saw this movie. And we're going to take your calls of what was wrong with Transformers Age of Extinction.
You want to hear the bad lines? Is that it?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
There's articles in the paper about
really?
The bad lines. Yeah, like listing the worst lines.
Wow.
You don't have.
It's really bad.
It was, oh my God. Most of the time I'm bummed when I go to a movie and I'm disappointed. But this one disappointed on a whole other level that was fascinating. I just couldn't believe it.
I can't wait to hear these lines.
Oh, my God. It's a terrible movie. but we're going to talk to Eli Roth, who's going to be in the studio.
He's an interesting dude.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Talking about this time Hemlock Grove,
mm-hmm,
season 2, which is on Netflix, I want to say.
Yes.
So we're going to talk to him. We got a brand new internet roundup. We got a citizen of the day and a bunch more. So that's coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a break. We will come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat. And that's 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:55. We have a brand new internet roundup coming up in the next hour. And also citizen of the day.
All right, here we go.
Citizen of the day. That's
just, what time is it? It's
5:56.
But I said internet roundup. Fine, it's just citizen.
Yeah, you got
citizen
it.
I have trouble with.
Yeah.
Well, it's a big word.
Citizen of the day.
Citizen. Citizen.
Right now it's 5:56. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat with Ralph Garman.
Oh, Pam Anderson. When's she going to find love? When's it going to finally work out for her? A simple little country girl from Canada. She made another visit to her friendly neighborhood attorney's office and filed for divorce from Rick Solomon last Thursday. This is their second divorce.
Same couple, second
yeah
divorce?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. She announced that they had retied the knot last January after annulling their original marriage after 6 short months in March of 2008. So this was their second go-round at marriage, and shockingly, it didn't work out.
Hmm.
Anybody who divorces the same person twice should just be put in a home.
Yeah, I mean,
just have a lobotomy.
That is on you because you realized it didn't work once.
Well, we tried. We were trying to get married before, and we just hated each other. We had to get divorced, but this time, all those problems, I think they're gone.
That isn't good for you.
People are saying it's interesting timing as well because Rick is a professional poker player now, apparently.
Uh-huh.
And he just won a big tournament for over $2 million.
Oh.
Just before she filed. So she still gets half of that.
Interesting.
Which is a pretty good deal, I guess. Do you have a lot of Game of Thrones fans in your life?
I'm one of them.
Are you?
Yeah.
Lisa, this is perfect for you.
Okay.
A company called Common Ventures is releasing a Game of Thrones line of wine.
Game of Thrones.
They do drink a lot of wine.
They do. It's a perfect tie-in.
It's true.
From an Australian vineyard. And the names will all have the names of the families, the houses in the Game of Thrones. Tyrell, Lannister, Stark, Greyjoy, Arryn, Martell, and so on and so on.
That could be cool.
Yeah. So you can watch your Game of Thrones and get yourself a big metal goblet. And just fill it up with wine and, and then just hack somebody to death with a broadsword.
What a fun Saturday night.
What a fun Saturday night. Be awesome.
You do not drink wine in a goblet, by the way. I know that for a fact.
Oh, they do.
That's not cool.
No, oh, okay. Yeah, they got big and dragons and stuff.
All right.
It's awesome. Ed Sheeran is letting the cat out of the bag when it comes to his friend Taylor Swift. In an interview with Us Weekly magazine, he said about his good friend Taylor, she's sort of a middle-aged woman trapped in a 24-year-old's body. She hangs out with her cat and sews things. He's her friend.
Wow.
And he's saying that. That's how I describe Bean to people, too.
Wow.
He's a middle-aged woman trapped in a man's body. Hangs out with his animals and...
likes to sew.
You know, hacks people to death with a broadsword. Last night, David Letterman gave Joan Rivers a little taste of her own medicine. It was pretty funny.
Oh, excellent.
She was on the show pimping her new book, and Dave, of course, mentioned the fact that she walked out of that interview on CNN. Minutes later, Joan went into a chunk talking about her how she wants to be get an endorsement deal with Depends, adult diapers.
A joke she's made 100 times?
10,000 times. Dave stood up, took off his jacket, and walked off the stage. Walked out of the interview. The audience went crazy. That was really funny. And a lot of brouhaha, if you will, about this new short story that J.K. Rowling has put on her website, Pottermore.com. She did it yesterday. It is a continuing story of Harry Potter. Just when you thought there wasn't any new Harry Potter.
And she has sworn over and over, I think, that she's done writing those.
Yeah, this was a little short story, you know, just a cute little story that catches up with Harry and Ginny and Ron and Hermione when they're in their 30s. And the tie-in is they're all back at Hogwarts attending the Quidditch World Cup together.
Oh.
Okay.
And there's an interviewer on the spot covering the Quidditch World Cup, and he interviews the gang and sees what they're up to these days. So apparently, according to the columnist on site who interviews the quartet, Harry's now working at the Ministry of Magic, has a few strands of gray in his hair, still wears his signature round glasses, but also has a cut on his cheek, which reportedly has to do with a new degree of magic he's earned, leading Harry Potter fans to go, she's going to write a book about the thing with the cut of the cheek and the ring of the gun. And their heads exploded.
Is she going to write another one?
No word on whether she will continue the story or not. But she did dangle a little detail about a further adventure with Harry there. And people went,
apes. That's a person who's worth, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars.
Easily,
she does not need to write another book.
No, she doesn't. But her fans would love it.
Sure.
Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Fred Savage. Little Kevin from the Wonder Years. 38 years old today.
Wow.
Not little Kevin anymore.
No.
Singer-guitarist Jack White celebrates his 39th birthday. By the way, Jack just announced he is going to release a new Dead Weather album in 2015.
All right.
So, Dead Weather fans. Didn't we just talk yesterday about some new stuff he was putting out? He never stops producing music.
But I think it was White Stripes stuff from way back yesterday.
That was out of the vault. Yeah, it was solo stuff and White Stripes stuff. This is new Dead Weather music that also will be available.
He's got like 8 bands going. Chip, you should get in a band. I think you'd like that.
Yeah.
How dare you?
Join one of his stay together.
It really looks like they have fun.
Or at least they get back together once in a while and do some work. Singer Courtney Love is 50. Tom Hanks is 58. Jimmy Smits turns 59 years old. Actor Chris Cooper, he's one of the best, 63. And producer Nigel Lithgow, who brought us, of course, American Idol and So You Think You Can Dance and all that stuff. He's 65 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
106.7 K-Rock. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. felt like I started talking too early there.
Okay.
Big Data, name of the band. Dangerous is the name of the song. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8 minutes after six and time for...
And now it's time for you to meet Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
You ever dine and dash, Lisa?
Mm.
You ever eat and run?
You know, the fact that I have to think about it means I probably
have. You probably did.
Yeah.
There's a Baltimore man named the Dine and Dasher by police. He's at it again. Andrew Palmer is 46 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He's notorious for racking up food and drink tabs at area restaurants. And then when they bring him the check, he fakes having a seizure.
Wow.
He falls on the ground and rolls around and sticks his tongue out. And then they call the ambulance and then they take him away. And then he doesn't have to pay his bill. Does he rack up $500-$600? No, it's like $40 or $50.
And then the ambulance? Don't you have to pay for that?
He has had to pay for that, and he has gone to jail like 12 times.
Really?
And he just keeps doing it. The night before this particular one, he went limp at an upscale barbecue restaurant, and that was a $90 tab. The paramedics showed up, and they said he would not wake up, and the paramedics said to him, "Come on, Andy, stop faking it." They know him. They know him by name.
But you know legally they have to do it, right?
Seriously, stop this.
Why doesn't he just duck out the back door like everyone else? Why the big hullabaloo?
I don't know. I don't know how
he must love the attention.
He decided that seizures are a horrible thing.
Yes.
I'm not trying to make light of that because I've known people who've had seizures and it's scary as hell.
But he gets a good meal.
He gets a good meal and
some
drinks.
And all these people like make over him.
But then he's gone back to the restaurant that he just got arrested, and he had been to that one like five times.
Make a good sandwich.
Yeah, but a seizure every time. Like, at least spread it around so people will believe you.
That's unbelievable.
Doesn't make any
really?
Sense. An aspiring model in Louisiana just updated her portfolio. She has a mugshot now, Devin Serpa, 28. Not bad looking, by the way.
Yeah.
Arrested July 3rd in connection with a shooting that happened in late June. Police say multiple shots were fired into two cars and into a house. Nobody was in the cars or the house. She was arrested on charges of criminal property damage and illegal use of a firearm following an investigation. As Serpa was being booked, a male corrections officer said the woman exposed her genital area to him.
Ooh.
And he charged her with an obscenity charge.
What?
Right?
Right there on the spot?
Yes. Aren't you as a guy? She's a model. Look at her.
She's not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if I'm arresting you and you want to show me the goods, I'm all good with that. She's already getting arrested for something else, for shooting a gun into a car. Why not?
Oh,
police say this one I'm going to steal from Bean from What's Up with Florida because the stories are just, there's too many.
Fast and furious.
Police say a 56-year-old Florida woman, this woman, not quite as attractive.
Whoa. Okay.
Attacked a 25-year-old man with a knife. Police report obtained by the Smoking Gun said Elizabeth Hiley was drinking with this 25-year-old at a friend's home, and she said, hey, you know what we should do? We should have sex.
Mm-hmm.
She's 56. He's 25. She's 56 and looks 76,
yeah.
And he's 25. So she says we should have sex. He apparently said, you know what? I'm going to pass on that. I'd rather not have the sex, if you don't mind.
The sex.
She grabbed a knife and cut off his thumb as he ran out the house.
Well, it could have been worse.
That was my thought. Thank God it's just a thumb.
Just a thumb.
She also chased him down the street with the knife and a cane. So she has to walk with a cane. And yet she was chasing a guy down with a knife.
Florida.
And a cane.
Is an amazing place.
It's the best place ever. Thieves steal $2,000 in soap. Sandy Springs, Georgia. Police are trying to figure out why three men walked into a CVS pharmacy in Atlanta's northern suburbs and stole $2,000 in soap.
How do you do that? How much soap could that possibly be?
I don't know. I don't know why they would have that much stocked. Doesn't it seem like $2,000 of soap would last you for a year if you're a CVS?
Oh, my God.
But that's all they took.
I can't imagine.
It's just baffling. It happened on July 1st. It was filmed by surveillance cameras. They went in. They stole $2,000 worth of soap. And I say if a guy wants a soap that bad, let him have it.
I guess.
Very possible that man just smells. And the final story for the Kevin and Bean Citizen of the Day is Cat's Blow.
I'm sorry.
Cats are terrible.
Oh.
Cats are bad pets.
For, you know, I thought.
Yeah, I know what you thought because that's how your mind goes. But my mind is not in the gutter. I'm a big dog guy. Not a big cat fan.
Yeah. You're not alone. I do like cats myself, but.
There was a couple whose cat turned on them and attacked. And they ended up having to call 911. Now, I don't know how long this went on before they called 911, but I can imagine I don't want to call 911 on my cat because my cat's attacking me.
That seems dumb.
But I have the 911 call.
Okay.
Here it is.
An out-of-control pet traps a couple inside of their bedroom after drawing blood.
Can you say declawed? The family is so scared there. They had to call for help. They called 911. Kelly Joyce with that frantic 911 call from DeLand.
What? How hard is it to handle a cat if there's two
just,
of you?
Look.
There's two of you.
Wrap something around your arm and get the cat.
They ran from room to room and locked themselves in. They would go into the bathroom. They locked themselves in. Then they would wait for quiet. Then they would run out of the bathroom and go into a bedroom and lock the door.
I have no respect for these people.
The cat terrorized them.
And, I mean, she tore me and my husband up, so we locked her in the bathroom all day. So I let her out, and she was okay. And then she told my husband she's free. Well, I got her out of the bedroom, but now she's in my living room, and I can't get out. She's got us trapped in her bedroom.
Come on.
The cat has them trapped in the bedroom.
Come on.
She, I mean, my husband, we're ripped up. I mean, ripped us, pouring blood. She's never been like this. She's never been out of her house. We just need her out of our house. We don't know what to do.
I'll tell you what to do. Don't get a cat.
No, that's not
it. That's the answer.
Now you know, Kevin and Beans, Citizen of the Day.
Director Eli Roth coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. Keep listening for that.
Okay.
You know how old people have trouble with the technology?
Oh, yeah.
My mom is pretty good at it, actually. But most people who get to be about 60 or older, they just like, I don't trust
this. They just
this.
Let it go.
It's too much.
It's too hard for them.
Well, Clint Eastwood is in the news. Ralph did a story yesterday in the Showbiz Beat. He's 84 years old. He was strolling down a Manhattan street, and a guy walked up and said, "Can I please take a photo of the two of us, Mr. Eastwood?" And he said, "Where's your shooter?" Meaning cameraman.
Right.
And the guy said, "Oh, I don't need that. I can just take a picture of both of us, like a selfie, you know." Clint Eastwood looked baffled by the term and told the guy point blank, "No effing way I'm doing that."
What?
He didn't even know what a selfie was. And then he turned the guy down before the guy could even tell him it's just me taking my own picture. He had no idea what it was. So we thought we would check in with Clint Eastwood this morning and just find out exactly what's going on in his world. Hello, Clint.
Hello.
How are you?
What the hell do you want?
Well, we're just calling about this story in the news. You were in New York. Somebody wanted to take a selfie.
Yeah.
Why would you say no effing way would I do that?
What the hell's a selfie?
Well, it's just a guy taking a picture of himself.
How does he take a picture of me, then?
Well, he's going to take one of him with you.
Yeah.
That's the idea.
How the hell does that work?
That's really not that complicated.
You
got a cameraman. He takes a picture of you.
No, there's no camera. Well,
the cameraman's behind the camera. I know that much.
Well, no, the guy just holds his cell phone or whatever at arm's length, and then both you and he fit in the photo. It's a selfie.
Hold on a second. How are you inside this tiny box?
The phone?
I hear your voice.
Yeah.
Like you're in the room with me.
Well, no, it's a telephone.
You must be so small to be inside there.
Come
out of that box.
It's just a telephone.
Yeah, these have been around a long time.
You better come out of that goddamn box.
I can't.
What did you just...
Who are you shooting at?
Firing a warning shot.
But I can't come out of the box.
I like being tricked.
There's no trick. It's just a phone. It's just, I'm here, you're there, and we can talk over the phone. You've never had a phone call?
There's no wires.
Right.
How are you supposed to get the sound to travel over the wires if there's no wires?
I feel like phones have been around long enough that maybe you should be aware of them, even if not
selfish.
Usually
a message shows up with a guy on a horse, right?
No. And gives
him a message.
No.
I haven't really done that in a long, long time.
Hey, there's two people in this phone. There's a woman in this phone.
Right, but she's with me, and we're just talking.
Let her go.
No, I'm not.
No, I'm fine.
Are you being held against your will, lady?
No, it's fine.
God damn it. Let go of the woman.
I'm not holding the woman. The woman wants to be here.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Where are you shooting for real? Up in the air?
Yeah.
Well, that's going to come down and ruin someone's day, most likely.
I'm going to make that day, not ruin that day.
This is worrisome.
Yeah. So you don't do email, I imagine.
What the hell is that?
It's just a way to send messages.
On your computer.
Back and forth. You can
computer.
You can do it on your computer. You can
Come
do it on,
on.
You can even send email on your phone. You can text.
What kind of science fiction crap are you people talking
about? It's not science fiction.
How are you making movies?
Why is it so bright in this room? The sun's not even up yet.
It's a light bulb.
The sun is coming out of a hole in my ceiling.
It's not the sun.
Little holes everywhere with sun coming out of them.
Those are light bulbs. It's just a light. You turn on a switch, they go on. You turn off
it's
a
electricity.
Switch, they go
How
on.
How do they get the sun into a bulb?
It's not the ridiculous. Sun. It isn't the sun. It's electricity.
Talking crazy talk.
It's electricity.
If I could get you out of this little box, I'd kick your ass.
I'm not in a box. It's
you got to ask yourself a question.
Yeah.
Where's my pudding?
Eli Roth coming in the next hour. Very excited about that.
Thanksgiving.
White meat, dark meat, all will be served. Carved, sorry. And what's wrong with the Transformers new movie? We're going to talk about that a little bit later on this morning. It is, it's spectacular.
It made so much money.
It made so much money, they don't care. But it's horrible.
Yeah.
I mean, the special effects are great, but whoever wrote the script should be kicked out of the country, I think. Right now, though, it's time for a brand new Internet Roundup.
Yeah! Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Laugh so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bane's Internet Roundup.
Go to krock.com and click on Kevin and Bean, or go to kevinandbean.com, and you will get the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup, all of these videos in one handy location. Dave, what did you sense? King of Mexico is here. He's the guy who puts them together. Why did the guy learn to put his pants on without his hands? Like, at what point?
I can't answer that, but it's a talent that I must try, and I must have it.
There's no way you'll ever do it.
No, I don't think so.
This guy, Lisa, has his pants down on the floor, basically, and without using his hands, gets his pants entirely where they're supposed to be, around his waist.
That's impressive.
Yep.
It's bizarre.
It looks like a weird dance. It's like a snake charmer.
Accompanied by this music. And I was watching it, and I was like, that is so impressive. And then at the end of the day, you could use your hands and be a lot quicker.
That's true.
So I'm not sure that he really accomplished it.
I wonder if he could take them off like that, because that would be pretty impressive to a chick, right? You're like, what?
You're all
dancing like, woo, one leg at a time.
Yeah, that would be hot.
Lisa speaks for all girls. I think it would be easier to get them off, though. Getting them on, like working them up your body.
I don't know. Those are some tight pants, man.
Yeah. Wisconsin lumberjack rescues black bear with milk can stuck on his head.
Aww.
This is one of the weirdest videos I've ever seen. He's out tilling the ground or whatever it is he does with his tractor. And there's a bear, and it's got a giant milk can on its head stuck.
Poor thing.
And it's like rolling around and trying with its front paws to get it off, and it can't. So the guy pulls up. And he's got one of those giant claws on the front of his tractor.
Oh.
And he grabs a hold of the honey jar and pops it off of the bear, and the bear runs off.
That's awesome.
It's one of the weirdest things I've ever seen.
Oh, my God, he moved. Look at that.
He's very, very excited about
it. I would, too. I bet you he's good at that claw game, too, that one that gets all the
stuffed animals.
Yeah,
but he rules that. You guys remember the kiss? Where somebody brought together, I don't know,
strangers.
And they had to kiss. Well, this is a little different than the kiss. This is the slap. So they bring together strangers, and then they slap each other in the face. Yeah.
That's weird.
It is weird.
Why would anyone want to do that?
I don't know, but they all seem to enjoy it.
Yeah.
It's surprising.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, how do we start this?
Stretch up a little bit. Oh.
Do you want to go first? Okay. All right. Just do it.
Yay! Can I do it again?
Please.
Yeah. Please. That was a good edit.
Can I do it again?
Can we make our own video of the slap and just me slapping you?
No.
No.
No, that's a terrible idea.
Oh.
If black people said the stuff white people say.
Oh, this would be fun.
Is the name of the next video.
You are dating a white guy. Does he have like a really tiny penis?
Oh, you must listen to that rural music, right?
You know who you look just like.
Who? Jennifer Lawrence?
So I just saw Titanic. How are you dealing? I had no idea your people had it so hard.
I don't even think of you as white.
I don't. I really don't.
Those are all black people talking like white people.
They do
my
a very
favorite part
good
is
job.
When he says, "What's up, honky?" And he goes, "It's cool. I have a white friend."
Now, tell me about EA UFC.
You know,
it's a UFC video game.
Yeah, there's a UFC video game from EA Sports, and you know when you're playing and nothing works right in the video game, so these guys commentate it like if they were really calling those glitches in the game,
and they were doing play by play
like Joe Rogan and Mike Goldberg who do the play by play for UFC.
They sound a little bit like them,
somewhat. Yeah,
not much, but they're doing play by play for this glitch.
Now, Joe, what technique is Junior Dos Santos utilizing here?
Mike, he's pretending to be a turtle that can't flip over. He's trying to confuse Frank Mir. Incredible strength, Mike, and a total disregard for the laws of physics.
It's pretty funny. You know the theme to Jurassic Park? Very famous theme.
Yes.
What if it was edited together so that goats were singing it?
Sounds promising.
I don't know why I'm so fascinated with goats singing.
But Supercats, I love them.
I just love the fact that they use goats to sing that theme. That falls into the category of who has that kind of time.
And why now? And why now for
Jurassic Park? Yeah. Doesn't make any sense. Epic rap battles of history we like to feature from time to time. This is George Washington versus William Wallace from Gladiator, I want to say.
No. Crap. No, I can't.
Don't laugh at me and then you don't know. Laugh at
William
me.
Wallace is from Braveheart.
Braveheart. Yes.
How dare you?
Yeah, please.
But freedom! That dude.
Versus
Mel
George
Gibson, yeah.
Versus George Washington.
Power! That's what the meaning of my flag is. Donations famous for golf and hagging. I'm fabulous from my head to my shoe buckle. Step to me or catch a knee to the boot snuggle. In the need of when I'll drown. I'm dressed like a pimp, best moves at the bar. McGavin, McGlivin, mixed school, y'all. Black, more Scott than Hadrian's wild.
I don't give a s*** about your fancy clothes. You ripped all those at a slave black folk. Blue weed and you made him broke.
I gotta tell you, they're pretty good.
Yeah.
They really do a good job with these.
Yeah.
Lie Witness News is something that Jimmy Kimmel does, and it's awesome. This is the World Cup edition. They go out and they ask people questions, and people are really too ashamed to admit that they don't know what they're talking about. So there's two things that you need to know before we play the clip. One is Landon Donovan was not at the World Cup. Jurgen Klinsmann, the coach, cut him from the squad, and very, very publicly. I mean, there was a lot of news about
it. I only know it because you mentioned
okay,
it.
Okay, but if you watch any news or ESPN or
any, watch the World Cup
or
because
watch
Landon's
the World Cup
commentating on it.
Right. Yeah. So he's not in it. That's point one. And point two is there's a guy named Luis Suarez who plays for
Uruguay.
He bit a guy. That happened.
Oh, and I remember that.
Maybe
yeah.
the third time in his career, almost fourth time in his career, where he actually just bites a guy. So this is Lie Witness News from Jimmy Kimmel, the World Cup edition.
What is the best play you've seen from Landon Donovan in the World Cup this year?
When he played against Portugal.
Uh-huh.
And that was a surprise when I saw that 2-1.
And the tricycle kick he did at the end, or?
It's a bicycle kick, by the way, not a tricycle kick.
I cried too.
Do you think Landon Donovan is outperforming Lando Calrissian this year in the World Cup?
I don't believe so.
Do you think Landon Donovan is living up to his famous nickname, Beckham Schmeckham, this year?
Pretty much.
What is the most shocking play that Landon Donovan took part in thus far in this year's World Cup?
Probably biting another man.
Landon
Donovan is getting blamed for biting another guy.
That was crazy.
Everything that happened at the World Cup, people thought Landon Donovan did, and he did none of it. And finally, Jimmy Kimmel Live this week in unnecessary censorship. He takes these clips from, you know, the president and press conferences and newscasts and puts beeps in where they're not supposed to be because they're not really cussing, but it sounds much worse than it is.
The staff at Greenstone
That bill would strengthen our borders, grow our economy, shrink our
Beyonce has off Oprah. Get out there early.
Yeah.
Share a photo of how you strong using hashtag
strong.
Yeah. I'd like to see how many people use that hashtag.
Omar.
Anyway, go to krock.com, click on Kevin and Bean, or go to kevinandbean.com for a brand new internet roundup.
Kevin and Bean's internet roundup.
106.7 KROQ is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53. Eli Roth coming into the studio. Very excited about that. Talking about Hemlock Grove.
And,
season two.
And Thanksgiving, I
and
hope.
Thanksgiving, which we're going to demand that we get an answer for.
What the hell? We've been waiting forever for this movie.
I don't know. We'll have to ask him when he comes in. 6:53, time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
People have been asking about our new comic book. Kevin Smith and I did a comic book called Batman 66 Meets the Green Hornet. The second issue is in stores right now, and the first issue, when it came out, we did a live performance of the comic book. We had music and sound effects, and we played all the characters live on stage, invited some of the members of the audience to come up and use their voice talents as well. It went over so well. We're doing it again this Saturday night at 8 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose, where we also do Hollywood Babylon. We're doing our Comic-Con theater. So come on out, and everybody who does will get an autographed copy of the comic book, and you get to see me and Kevin have a good time up on stage. And if you're an aspiring actor, maybe we'll pull you up on stage, too, because there's a lot of roles in that comic book that we just don't feel like playing, quite frankly.
Is this Hollywood Babylon?
No, this is a
different thing.
Yeah, where we just do an evening with the comic book, and we have a lot of fun. We do a lot of jokes and stuff and everything, but it's mostly a live performance of the comic book, and I do a lot of impressions, and Kevin's the narrator, and we've got sound effects and music, and it's a good time. So go to improv.com. And then go to Saturday night at 8 p.m. and click on that and get your tickets. Come on and see us.
No.
Or not.
Or not.
It's America. Sure. Make choices. Like Pamela Anderson made a choice this week. She is divorcing her husband, Rick Solomon, for the second time.
I guarantee we've had listeners that have married and divorced the same person twice.
This may be a phone-in topic we need to
maybe more.
Explore. They got remarried in January, last January. And they had already been married once. Their original marriage was annulled after six short months in March of 2008. So here they are, 6 years later, and they decided to get married again. Well, surprise, surprise, it didn't work out, and now they're getting divorced. If you're keeping track at home, she was also married to Tommy Lee, of course, famously, from 95 to 98. And then Kid Rock from 2006 to 2007. We forget that was a couple.
That's no. Right. I did forget that.
That was an odd marriage.
But she went back and forth with Tommy Lee, too, several times.
Yeah.
Maybe not marriage, but...
No, they never married again.
They were together.
They were a couple, back and forth, off and on. But she pulled the trigger with Rick Solomon. I think she made an excellent choice.
Yeah.
Because now, divorce. Speaking of relationships, Chris Brown and Karrueche Tran, his girlfriend, their relationship apparently is off. Apparently, she did not like the fact that he posted explicit pictures of her ass on Instagram.
Well, that's sweet.
He's a class act, that yeah. Chris Brown.
I would guess most women would be a little upset about that.
She didn't appreciate the picture going public, so now RadarOnline.com is reporting the two are no longer even speaking. And, most telltale sign of all, she's unfollowed him on all social networks.
Oh, it's on.
That's when you know it's over.
Well, that was a miscalculation.
Yeah. Olivia Wilde doesn't want you to call her too pretty.
Sorry. Same here.
Sorry, I can't help it.
Same with me.
GQ implied that she was too pretty to be believable as a writer in the movie Third Person. So she tweeted GQ, "Ha, kiss my smart ass." Apparently she was upset that they thought her looks would keep her from playing a writer. There are attractive writers.
Yes.
Who was the... Bond villain that was, or was
Denise
like,
Richards.
Denise Richards, yeah.
Dr. Christmas.
Where you go, no way. No way am I buying that.
Yeah.
She was a nuclear physicist.
Right. So that's absurd.
Dr. Christmas Jones.
But this particular case, she could play that,
there's,
I think.
There's hot writers.
Yeah.
Not as hot as Olivia Wilde.
No,
but
not.
Still, it's writers I'd bang. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
I'd do them a favor.
Sure.
More movies we don't need. How about the live-action version of Dumbo, the Disney classic?
No.
The animated film, of course, classic, came from the 1940s, but Disney apparently developing a live-action version of their animated film. They're doing this a lot now. They're doing it with Jungle Book, and now they're doing this with Dumbo. And I just don't think real elephants can fly, frankly. I'm gonna go out on a limb, and I'm saying I don't think it's possible. I don't think real elephants fly.
But what about movie magic? What about that?
There's no special effects? There's no way you can... You, with any technology, you can make an
elephant look
like
it's strong. You know how heavy
they are. Yes. Thank you, Lisa.
I don't.
Voice of reason.
No. I don't. No,
that's insane.
how heavy they are.
They're really heavy.
They're really heavy.
They're really heavy. Okay.
And while we're talking about animated classics from Disney, the voice of Pinocchio, the little puppet who wanted to be a real boy, has passed away.
Huh.
Richard Percy Jones was his name. Passed away Monday night at 87. He was the voice of Pinocchio. He was known professionally as Dick Jones,
okay.
as Kevin, oddly enough.
How dare you.
His other work for stud films.
Does he? Did he still have that voice all the way through?
No, he was a little kid.
Just a kid.
He was a little kid.
Oh,
when he did
a little kid. Okay.
Yeah, and he also wore a puppet costume and acted out the scenes for Disney animators when they were drawing the cartoon.
Oh.
Why does his workload have to double? Because Disney can't draw. Come
good
on.
Point.
You just think about it and draw it. Animators. He was in nearly 100 other films during his career.
No kidding.
So he has passed away. He is now not a real boy. He's a dead boy.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthday is Fred Savage. He's 38 years old. Singer, guitarist, legend, genius, Jack White, 39 years old. Courtney Love turns 50. Tom Hanks is 58. Jimmy Smits celebrates his 59th birthday. Chris Cooper is 63. And producer from reality shows like So You Think You Can Dance, where he's also a judge, and American Idol, Nigel Lithgow.
Is he Simon Cowell's partner?
He was.
No, was. Okay.
I know they worked together on...
Because I thought they came up with the whole American Idol idea before it came over here.
Lithgow did,
yeah.
And then Simon came on and became an executive producer or something. And they may have collaborated on The X Factor as well. I'm not sure. He's 65 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Your Ford dealer checks a lot of things to keep your car healthy.
Synthetic blend oil change. Check. Tires rotated. Check. Brakes inspected. Check. Check routine maintenance off your list. Click the banner to get the works for $39.95 or less minus a $10 mail-in rebate. That's $29.95 or less. Up to 5 quarts oil. Taxes, diesel, and disposal fees extra. Rebate by prepaid debit card. See participating Ford dealer for exclusions and rebate details through 3/31/14.
Summer is here, and nothing looks better than tan skin and white teeth. And if you want to have whiter teeth in 5 minutes, then try clinically proven Power Swabs. Power Swabs whitens teeth on average 2 shades in 5 minutes and 6 shades in 7 days. Call to whiten your teeth in 5 minutes, risk-free. Dial 1-800-270-2472. That's 1-800-270-2472. 1-800-270-2472.
Is a bad credit score keeping you from getting the things you want? If you're being denied credit or paying high interest rates, call the experts at CreditRepair.com. With over 15 years of success helping thousands resolve their credit issues, we work to improve your credit by helping remove negative items from your credit report, items such as late payments or even bankruptcy. Call 800-915-1453 for your free credit consultation. We'll help repair your credit so you can rebuild your future. 800-915-1453 for CreditRepair.com. Dodgers fans, commemorate Clayton Kershaw's first career no-hitter with an authentic Clayton Kershaw autograph baseball. This collectible is signed on the sweet spot in blue and includes a certificate of authenticity. Go to shopcbslocal.com now to buy and get free shipping.
How much is your lawn worth? $500 a day? Overwatering and using hoses as brooms on concrete walks and driveways could soon be subjected to heavy fines. The State Water Resources Board, trying to deal with the drought, Governor Jerry says, cut 20%. We've only cut 5% of our consumption. The meeting's today, unsure who the water police would be. A meeting today in Dallas. Each side says it invited the other. The man who is president, and one who would like to be, Barack Obama, Rick Perry. While they talk, people still die in the desert.
Brooks County Chief Deputy Benny Martinez tracks immigrant deaths in this binder.
This is 2014.
These photographs document 37 bodies found in Brooks County so far this year, including this 19-year-old from Honduras.
For every body that you do find, how many more are out there?
I say at least 5.
In the 80s and 90s again, 70 at K-Rock. I'm Doc on the Rock.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. 106.7 KROQ FM and HD. Pasadena, Los Angeles, Orange County. The world famous K-Rock. Alternative first.
Cause you're a sky, cause you're a
you're a sky, 'cause you're a sky full of stars, 'cause you light up the path. I don't care.
So 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6 minutes after 7 o'clock. In a couple of minutes, Eli Roth will join us talking about Hemlock Grove Season 2. And we also have, I don't know if you heard the song yesterday, the 4th of July song?
Yes, of course.
The person who did that, Rosa G, whose real name is not Rosa G, on the program today.
Cool.
And Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage. But first, you know, we're used to living in Southern California and we have theme parks here and they're all safe. You go to Disneyland.
They're very safe.
No issues. You go to Knott's Berry Farm. No issues.
Yeah.
You go to Magic Mountain. No issues. Well, there's a place in New Jersey that has been called, nicknamed Traction Park.
Oh.
It's a 1970s New Jersey theme park. Six people died there and hundreds were injured.
Oh, my God.
At one point, they said it was nicknamed Traction Park due to serious injuries, which at one stage numbered between 5 and 10 serious injuries per day.
How did they not close it down?
They did. In 1996, they closed it down because of lawsuits.
But how did they not close it down way before then?
They called it Class Action Park
end
because so many people were suing. They said it was like going on some crazy guy's backyard rides.
This is unbelievable.
No, that's not what's unbelievable. What is unbelievable is they're reopening this park.
Oh, no.
Yes, they are. And we have the owner on the phone. We're going to talk to him now. Andy Mulvihill, I want to say.
Yeah, Mulvihill.
Mulvihill. Hi.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us today.
Hey,
we appreciate
thanks for having me. Come down to Action Park. Have a good time.
Yeah.
I don't know.
First of all, did you...
You don't know. Hey, yeah, what's the no? Come on. It's an amusement park. It's fun. Come on.
Well...
Was there a point where 5 to 10 serious injuries happened per day?
Serious. You tell me. What's serious?
Well, I mean...
How many people? You use your pinkies?
Well, yeah.
What?
You do use your pinkies.
Not really. You got 4 other good fingers.
So you had people cutting off their pinkies?
Sometimes on the Alpine slide, the car would roll over and take a hand or a pinky or something. What do you want to do, live forever?
Well, I'd rather live past going to your park.
But what about the joy you get from going there and the excitement of the rides and things? It's a good time here at Action Park. Come on down.
Now, you closed in 96. Is that accurate?
Yeah, my dad did. Gene.
Your dad did. Okay.
He was the founder of the park, and then we had to sell it because a lot of people were suing babies.
Right.
Babies were suing us.
Right.
But a lot of people said, I miss it. I miss the action. I miss the adventure. I miss the excitement. So we're opening it up again. Now we're up and running. Come on down to Action Park.
Now, did you go back and retool a bunch of the rides and fix some of the issues so that now that you're reopened and, you know, people...
Retool, yeah. Okay.
Well, I'm saying fixed.
Yeah. Fix, whatever. Come on down. It's a lot of fun.
Wait.
You know, did pass inspection? Were there inspections?
Who is
for safety?
Who is some inspector to judge me?
Well, I mean, a lot of people, that's they do that for a living. They can tell if something is unsafe. That way, you can fix it before somebody gets hurt and it saves you.
What's that guy, my mom? What's he going to tell me? Oh, don't do that. Oh, it's dangerous, honey. Be careful. This is why we live in a world full of kids who are pussies. Because they don't have any real danger in their lives. And that's what we have here at Action Park. It's a good time. Look, we got roller coasters. Look at that. Isn't that beautiful?
Oh, my God.
What was that?
Happened?
Some lady was having such a good time.
It did sound like a scream followed by a body hitting the ground.
Hitting the ground.
Yeah, hitting the ground.
Hitting the ground, yeah.
She gently came down after the ride was not quite over.
Well, let us talk to her then.
She's already busy. She's running away to another ride.
Oh, is that right? Yeah.
She's going down to the chainsaw.
The chainsaw, that does not sound
Describe
good.
Describe the chainsaw for me.
Best. You get on this ride, right? And it's these two cars that are going at each other in the track, and each guy's got a chainsaw. Come on back soon.
Wait,
what happened?
It sounded like somebody got cut to shreds.
No, the ice cream line just opened. They're excited.
The ice cream
line. Is there blood on the floor?
We don't have a floor. It's concrete.
All right, is there blood on the concrete?
Hose it down. What? What's with you people?
Well, we're just saying you were forced to close your doors because of lawsuits.
Where were you raised? Downton Abbey? This is an exciting place to go to.
Are you whipping someone?
That's the whip. That's why we call it a whip.
The whip, okay.
It's an actual whip.
It is. It's a guy, you go up against a wall and a guy whips you.
Well, that's not a ride.
Why would anyone do that?
But it's action. I didn't say it was a ride, but it's action.
They pay to do that?
Yeah, of course they pay. What? I'm not running a charity here, lady.
What's going on there?
That's the wolf pack.
The wolf pack?
Yeah, it's a special ride. You get inside a cage with some wolves.
Well, that's not a ride.
I didn't say it was a ride.
You did too.
It's an attraction. It's an action attraction. Come on down to Action Park. Have a good time. Hey, how about the shocker? Get on the shocker.
Again, that didn't sound fun.
Are you electrocuting people?
Look, electrocute. That means they die, right? No,
right.
You just get shocked.
Well, let us talk to that guy.
It's shocking what happened to him.
Yeah.
He's too busy. He's getting a churro.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, it's all just the
That's
Action
a shame.
Park is fun for the whole family.
What? What was that?
Yeah, we're going to be closed a little bit early today.
Where is Thanksgiving, mother effer?
The only reason we brought Eli Roth, director, actor, writer, producer, in this morning is to ask him this one question.
Actually, Thanksgiving will be here this year. It's the fourth Thursday in November.
No,
book your travel plans
now. We're not talking
now.
About that
yeah.
Thanksgiving, mister.
This
you mean
is the Thanksgiving we're talking about.
This holiday season, prepare to have the stuff that is scared out of you. Thanksgiving, white meat, dark meat, all will be carved.
We've never forgotten.
Thanksgiving from director Eli Roth. Thanksgiving. You'll come home for the holidays in a body bag.
And where?
And there actually was a little tag at the end where it goes, coming this February. Because if you remember when those movies came out, they were never.
It was wildly out of sync.
It was completely be like, yeah. April Fool's Day. This July. We're like, what? As a kid, I grew up in Massachusetts, and I grew up in the golden age of slashers where every single week there was a new holiday slasher. Suddenly it started April Fool's Day and My Bloody Valentine.
Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Yeah, Silent Night, Deadly Night. Yeah. Mother's Day. Like every day. Had a holiday. There's even a Mad Magazine parody called Arbor Day. And then so in Massachusetts, the Thanksgiving's a pretty big deal. There wasn't one. And so it was my friend Jeff Rendell and I was our obsession to write Thanksgiving. So we made the Grindhouse trailer and we spent years basically thinking, God, how can I live up to it? And I swear to you this week, I've got a whole stash of blurs. I've been watching my early 80s slasher movies.
Right.
Working on the script. Because last night, two nights ago, I watched Final Exam. The Final Terror and Slumber Party Massacre.
Sweet.
And it's amazing how Final Exam, it's one that I had missed. It starts with two kids in a car and it's like, come on, Judy. It's like, come on, Judy. Are we going to make it or what? It's Bobby. Do you love me? And he's like, ah, heck yeah, sure. And then someone's rattling the car. It's like, hey, quit clowning around, you guys. Next thing you know, a killer just like stabs the thing. And I was like, I've got to do this. And the great thing is by the time they got to Final Exam, there's not even a scene where they turn on the radio and they're like, an escaped killer is, killers escaped the mental institution. Watch out.
Right.
It's nothing. It's just like a crazy guy who's just killing people for absolutely no reason. It's never explained.
Just for fun.
Just a dude with a mullet just killing people. It's
just
amazing.
Doesn't matter.
Well, from the time we saw this trailer, we started counting down. And right. I don't
believe.
And
there were some rumors you yourself said, oh, yeah, it's in the works, and we would get teased and stuff. Still nothing.
I know. Well, this little movie called Inglourious Bastards sort of got in the way of that. Oh. It was a little derailed. Then
which was great, by the way, but it's no Thanksgiving.
It's no Thanksgiving. I know. I feel like my life will not be complete. And trust me, my co-writer, Jeff, who I've known since I was 5 years old, calls me. He's like, what the hell's wrong with you? When are we finishing the damn script? So we actually have an amazing outline for it, and we'd written a draft, but we're rerunning. We finally cracked the story, and I wanted to make it a legitimate, like, awesome slasher movie. So we've been really trying to figure out how to write it, and I'm working on the script. But is this like
Axl Rose, where we're going to get it 10 years from now?
Oh, my God. I just realized you just put it in perspective. Thanksgiving
Chinese
is my
democracy.
Chinese democracy.
That's right. Yes. That's what you're doing.
Wow. Hopefully it can be like a Use Your Illusion 1 and 2.
How long? I mean, will it be a couple of years?
I think within the next – I kind of want to do it within the next year or so. That's like within the next year. Like, if I finish the script now, I can get it ready and just knock it out.
Here, my theory is that it should come out, I don't know, like late November.
Yeah.
No, it's got to come out in July. It's got
to
be in the summer.
I'd love to. That'd be the perfect homage. I'd love to have it in August, because then the kids would just feel the annoying frustration that I felt not understanding why they couldn't release a holiday movie exactly on the holidays.
Is that your voice on the trailer?
That is me.
That's what I heard.
Thanksgiving.
I heard that you're...
All will be carved.
That's pretty impressive.
Thanksgiving. It's funny, because I sometimes will talk in that voice. Wake up. Thanksgiving. Like sometimes...
If I had that voice, I would talk at it all the time.
Me too. But it's really like very early in the morning when I'm completely like dehydrated. If I drink a lot the night before I wake up, I'm like, where's the mic? I need to record the Thanksgiving voice.
White meat, dark meat, all will be carved.
All will be carved.
We have that memorized.
Double
I saw
the holidays.
I saw you mouthing the words to it as well.
Yeah.
So
I remember the ratings board got very upset over it. They said, if you can remove thanks to, they said to Tarantino Rodriguez, because it was in between their two movies as part of Grindhouse.
It was a fake trailer,
it's a fake
right?
trailer. And they go, if you remove Eli's trailer in its entirety, then we will just give you an R rating. Like, no, we can't do that.
Really?
Yeah, because I had the girl spreading her legs to camera and fully, like, landing on the knife.
Yes.
And they were like, you can't do that, Eli. Not okay. And I was like, but it's Grindhouse. The point was to make, like, a very sleazy early 80s slasher.
What were the other ones? Was there Don't?
There was Don't by Edgar Wright and Rob Zombie's Werewolf Women of the SS.
Oh, that's
Machete.
Right. That's right.
Machete.
Right.
And Quentin was going to do one called Cowgirls in Sweden, but he never got around to filming it because it's just the movie ran
out of
budget.
One of those nudist films.
I read it.
A documentary
Cowgirls in Sweden.
I read it that last weekend. It was not what I thought it was.
Yeah.
Let's talk about why you're here. Hemlock Grove.
Hemlock Grove, season two on Netflix. Netflix is awesome. It's like a whole new.
Love it.
Yeah, they're great. Like everyone has become binge watchers. Like, yeah. You know, in fact, the new cheating is when your girlfriend or boyfriend goes an episode ahead of you.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You're like, yeah, I feel betrayed.
We had Chris Carter in Creator of the X-Files yesterday, and we were talking about this. The new digital platforms for filmmakers is giving people a whole new generation of filmmakers a chance to get stuff seen and made that never would have happened before.
Right? Oh, it's really cool. And we had theatrical directors come out for it. Like the woman, Florida Sigismondi, who directed The Runaways, did an episode. This guy, Spencer Susser, did a great film called Hesher. Vincenzo Natale made a really cool movie I love called Cube. They all came in to do episodes because we can really let them go wild with sex and violence.
Right.
And the nice thing is, I don't know, there's something about Netflix that when you get the episodes, it's almost like a Papa John's pizza. Like, it just shows up at your door, and you're just like, oven or slice.
By the time you're done, it's 5 a.m.
By the time it's 5 a.m., you need three pizzas. But it's like a wonderful hot pizza that just shows up at your door. And people, it was really fun because people watched it the first season. You know, we're creating new mythology with werewolves and vampires. I want to do something in the Twin Peaks, but more violent and adult. And we did a really, really violent werewolf transformation. So all the people that were used to Twilight, where the kid walks, you know, takes off a shirt, walks behind a train as a fluffy wolf.
Right.
People were genuinely disturbed. Like, people on Twitter, like, this is really upsetting. That was like watching a birth in science class.
Yeah. Nice.
And what's cool about Netflix is they were like, okay, remember that scene in the first movie where the vampire guy goes down on the cheerleader who's having her period? We want more of that. And I was like, okay.
We want more of that,
more of that. They're like, can you go sicker than that? I was like, Can I?
Yeah.
Let me show
Don't
you.
They
the,
know who they're dealing
let,
with?
Let me count the ways.
Sounds like a challenge.
And so we had a scene where, like, someone is, you know, they're biting someone's neck in a fountain, and we're like, okay, the vampire, he craves blood, but what if there's, like, a bunch of leeches that he's, like, paying a fat guy to have on? He picks them off and eat. Like, we just started thinking of weird lateral ways to write in this mythology, and they were totally cool with it. So now, what's great is people, as soon as it's on, people watch them all to either declare it as the greatest new show or like the worst piece of crap that's ever been.
It's one or the other.
One or the other. But people want to watch them all so they can claim, like, ah, pfft, it's terrible. Or, oh, it was amazing. You got to see it.
Now, the one where they were picking the bugs off, is that this?
That is this season.
This season, the first episode.
Oh,
right?
I may have just given away.
Spoiler! That's okay.
Well, they'll all be spoiled by Friday.
That's true. Yeah. Everybody's going to watch them all at once.
Yeah, we need to take a break.
No! Come on.
We need to take a break. I don't really have the choice here.
Damn it.
Eli Roth is in studio. He has promised us that he's working on Thanksgiving. That's first and foremost. And second is Hemlock Grove Season 2 returns this Friday on Netflix.
And if you're a fan of the show, we're going to tell you how you can get to see a special little fan event, too, that they're also throwing together.
That's coming up next. Eli Roth is in the studio with us. Very excited about Thanksgiving.
Which comes out. Hemlock Grove is also why we're here.
This August. Oh, Hemlock Grove. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about Netflix. Like Ralph said, we had Chris Carter in yesterday, the creator of X-Files, and we were asking him about Netflix and the way that you can binge watch now. Are you missing out on some of the I can't wait for Sunday when the next episode, that anticipation?
Not at all. In fact, it's the opposite. I'll let a few Sundays go by so that I can binge watch. Like with Game of Thrones and Silicon Valley.
Build up.
If I miss, like, because as soon as it's over, I want to watch, like, now I want to watch two or three of them.
Right.
So, I've just gotten used to binge watching. And it's weird because when I first told people I was doing a show for Netflix, people were like, oh, is that like YouTube? Are you doing an internet series?
Yeah.
Like, no, it's going to be like a huge thing, like a movie. And now everybody wants to get shows on Netflix. There's something very satisfying about the episode being over and you can watch another one right away.
Is this your first venture into television?
Yeah, it is.
In essence?
Yeah. No,
was that a big part of you doing it? Is because you knew you'd have a certain amount of creative freedom and you could do it like a feature and then just cut it up really into pieces.
Right? A huge deal. Well, after literally cut it up into pieces, my specialty. After Hostel and Hostel 2, I had all these different television offers. And
How do you get a TV offer after Hostel?
Well, that's the thing, is people would turn to me and they're like, can you do Hostel, the television show? I go, okay, well, can I cut out people's eyeballs? Like, no. I'm like, what about body parts? No, you can't really show it. They're like, okay, just do it, but without the sex, without the language, without the violence.
Really mean to them. They say bad things.
I'm like, so you want Seinfeld, really, if you cut it down. So,
can you tickle them instead of cutting off their head? That kind of stuff?
Exactly. And I always thought, and the thing is, what makes television work is the characters that you come back for week after week. And what makes horror work is that you can kill everybody. And, of course, Ryan Murphy solved it brilliantly with American Horror Story.
He did, yeah.
And now we're seeing with AMC, FX, Netflix, they're calling it the golden age of television horror. What we had in the movies in the early 80s, you're seeing all these shows like Hannibal. Like, even the networks after 10 are letting you get away with really hardcore
Hannibal
stuff.
Hannibal gets away with crazy stuff for a major network.
Yep, it's impressive. But that's why what's great about Netflix is you can view it. We looked at it like a 13-hour movie. We don't have to go without having to do next week. You don't have to like wrap up the end of each episode with a cliffhanger and start each one with, well, oh, yeah, I remember last week when we were, and then explain.
On Hemlock Grove.
Previously on Hemlock Grove.
So if you're going to binge watch it, you can go 5 minutes ago on Hemlock Grove.
Exactly. There you go. Two bathroom breaks ago on Hemlock Grove. Half a pizza ago. So that's what's nice is you can actually, we're doing it, we tightened it to 10 episodes this season so we could just fit more twists and turns in there. But as soon as it's over, you just watch another one. You don't have to, you know, you can really view it. We look at it like it's a 10-hour movie.
And it's nice too because the season 2 premieres this Friday, July the 11th on Netflix, but you still have time. You can go back and catch the whole first season and get caught up in the mythology, as you mentioned, of this little town in Pennsylvania where you can't explain it. I think to your credit, it's a very dense world that you have with the vampires and the werewolves. And angel babies and
strange creatures. I did a 3-minute recap on YouTube. If you don't want to spend 13 hours rewatching it, you can just take the 3-minute.
I wish I would have seen that. I'm not the guy to try and summarize this type of show. Why don't you tell people who may not have seen the first season?
It's
about.
Well, the first season, Hemlock Grove, there's a girl that was brutally murdered by, they don't know what it was. It was a beast, a werewolf of some type. And then a new kid moves into town who actually happens to be a type of werewolf, but he didn't do it, and so he teams up with someone who's being groomed to be a vampire. It goes to sort of the root mythology of Frankenstein, vampire, werewolves, and monsters, and they discover lots of strange, grisly goings-on in the town. And in season 2, there's an even worse killer that's out there, and the kids sort of get dragged into and get involved, and it's very strange. I wanted to show that was something very violent and creepy like Twin Peaks, but it's a bizarre, weird universe you can just tune into.
The mythology of some of those things, of all of those things, used to be very strict. If you're going to make a vampire movie, you had to use these rules or everybody would get upset. That's completely changed now.
It has, because I remember there was like a little fat kid with a huge placard that said Nosferatu did not sparkle. Like, he's so at Comic-Con, he was like protesting. Like, a real vampire does not sparkle. But as you can see, zombies were created by George Romero in Night of the Living Dead. You shoot them in the head. And now it's like that. Those rules, that was a zombie has become a type of monster. It's not just specific to Night of the Living Dead.
Walking Dead, they can run and climb and jump.
They can run and climb. And
it can be in the Olympics.
Yeah, exactly. And you see World War Z. And that's what's cool is that people are taking the mythologies in lateral directions. The creator of the book, Brian McGreevy, went back and sort of looked at the actual root mythology of Upirs, what inspired vampires? Where did the Vlad the Impaler, where did Elizabeth Bathory, like, what were these people called? It sort of went to local folklore, Romanian folklore, and took kind of the root mythology of vampires and vargulfs, which evolved into werewolves, all these different things, and that's what he based the book on.
That's what struck me about your show, too, is that it feels like it is a small town, like you said, a Romanian sort of medieval story updated and dropped in Pennsylvania, where we kind of get to meet those people.
Yeah, well, I like that in Twin Peaks. It was slightly right of reality. It's not like a recreation.
Tell me about stuff. Famke Janssen, is that how you say her name?
Famke Janssen. Yeah, she's amazing. Her. Jean Grey, I know, from the X-Men. We were so lucky to get her. She anchors the show. And we told her, we wanted a show that feels theatrical. We don't want to, you know, she'd never done, or I guess she'd done Nip Tuck before with Ryan Murphy. That was her only, she'd done an arc on that. And
did you write it for her?
We wanted a type like her. She was kind of the ideal type. But as soon as she came on, obviously all of the scripts got tailored for Famke. And Dougray Scott and the young guys, Landon LeBron and Bill Skarsgård, are amazing as well. But Famke, she's just a great actor. She's beautiful. She's smart. She's strong. And she is masterminding everything. I mean, she is sort of, she's hundreds of years old, but she's starting to look the same age as her son. So it's very creepy. But she's so beautiful and cool and smart and She's great. We're
have
lucky
you ever made
her.
A comedy?
I thought Hostel 2 was hilarious. Like, you were talking about that when they, you know, decapitate the girl and play a head with a soccer.
Well,
and then
that's
the kids
what I fell in love with soccer. I just went to Brazil for the World Cup.
Oh, yeah.
But you were so disappointed, you were saying, because there were no heads on the pitch.
They were playing soccer with somebody's head. That happened in an Eli Roth movie.
Yeah,
so.
And it's a little children, and then one of them kicks it through the post and then goes, goal!
Goal!
And puts his like shirt over his head and runs around, like, arms up, victorious.
Good time. I remember seeing that and going, whoever made this is effed up.
Thank you.
And I love them.
Yeah. No, I mean, Cabin Fever, all my movies have humor. I think that in certain movies, you can't avoid it. Even though if it's a horror film, you need that release valve. I think there's just something. I mean, I fell in love with Monty Python violence, like in the Holy Grail when arms are being chopped off and heads. I just thought it was the funniest thing ever.
I'm not quite dead yet.
I just thought it was brilliant. So all my movies, I think, are comedies. My new one, The Green Inferno, there's a lot of, we filmed it in the Amazon. It's coming out in September, where we went to a place they'd never seen ice cubes before, let alone electricity. And we had to show them a television monitor to explain what movies were. And we showed them this
film. Can't you go to Seattle or someplace where they have trees and just fake it?
You'd think, but these people, it looks real. Like, we showed them this movie, Cannibal Holocaust, to explain what a movie was, where people, like, genitals are being sliced off people's, and it's literally three-year-old kids they don't know what a television is, and we're sitting down there watching Cannibal Holocaust, and they thought it was a comedy. The whole village was laughing. So if you ask the four-year-old kids in this village in Peru, what is a movie, they'd say, oh, this is where you get painted red and pretend to eat people. Yeah. And everyone in the village signed up to be in the film.
What
it was amazing.
What a bizarre way to try and win them over is to show them that.
Of all movies.
I know that. By the way, that and Diet Coke and Gatorade won the whole village.
That was it?
They're like, yeah, because they'd never had refrigerated drinks before. So they like all gathered around the ice cubes. They couldn't believe it, and that, like, the cold drink was a new concept to them.
They should have made you their king. Put you up on a throne and given you a crown, and you could have taken over that.
Well, actually, our production designer built all the sets. They loved her so much. The village offered her a baby. And she, like, built the sets. Yeah, no, they're like, we have a gift for you. And she's like, what is it? And they brought out, like, a two-year-old. And like, here, this is your gift. This is what we can give you. And she's like, I'm, like, 30, and I live with my boyfriend in Chile. I don't know if I can just take a baby from your village.
And by the way, who offered it up?
The whole village.
Well, but the whole village.
There's a mom.
There's a mom.
It takes a village, Kevin, to give away a baby.
I see.
I didn't realize that.
No, that was, like, the highest compliment was, like, here's a baby. I actually have a part of property there with a little shack and a cage. What we built to keep the kids in when they're being eaten by the cannibals. I own that land, so I have part of that property there.
Well,
so
and then welcome place.
To
come.
It's
you
like a summer place in Peru. Exactly.
Just to go to hang out and have people get eaten.
Exactly.
So I want to talk about the fan base for Hemlock Grove, because it's only been one season, but your fans are rabid.
I love them.
They're just on fire for this show.
The horror fans are amazing. And they're like, and I always saw this with Cabin Fever, that I saw like what the same fans of comic books are kind of the same fans of horror movies. And when they're committed to you, like they're with you for life, and they're always hungry for new mythology. And when you really put a lot of thought and creativity, and we had this terrific showrunner, Chick Egley, came in for the second season and worked on Walking Dead and Dark Angel, and we really wanted to give them something great. And they love details. They love obsessive little details, as do I. Like they want to know every little rule, and you really stick to those little rules. But creating new monsters and new weird things, they love discovering it, and kind of every generation sort of needs a movie that's theirs. Like there's
so you
Friday
could write
13th,
that mythology for
yeah, we could,
your
we can,
particular creations.
Exactly. And we can come up with all sorts of – we have this tower called the White Tower in the show where strange new monsters are continually popping out of it. So if you think of something completely insane and bizarre, it's like, oh, yeah, well, Dr. Price was creating that. We have a mad scientist,
right,
which gives us license to have all kinds of strange things happen. But the fan base is amazing. If you go on at Hemlock Grove on the Twitter, like they retweet everything. They're really, really devout fans, and we love them, and I think they're going to be really rewarded.
If you're a fan of Hemlock Grove, and you do go on at Hemlock Grove on Twitter, and you tell them why you're the show's biggest fan, you can get an invite to this event that you're doing tomorrow, right?
Yeah, Thursday night we're doing it at the Cinerama Dome in Hollywood, ArcLight.
Awesome.
It's gonna be really fun. I'm gonna be there introducing the cast members. Are gonna be there. We're gonna screen the first episode at the Cinerama Dome, which is a really cool way to see it.
Cool.
So yeah, it's gonna, and we're filling it with fans. It's not like for reviewers and critics and industry. We want fans there watching it. So more normally people watch Hemlock Grove by themselves or with a bunch of friends, but you can see it in a huge, huge theater.
How great to see it on the big screen too, when you're used to watching it on your laptop or your.
It'll be disgusting. The people that I don't think the people at ArcLight really know what they're getting into.
Sure,
like
true.
they have limits there, and we don't.
Are you going to stay in the back of the theater with a bucket of blood and just start throwing it on people? And
I actually like to sit in the front and watch people's faces and see people like completely freaking out. And see if someone walks out in the middle, it's bad. If someone runs out, if you get a running vomit,
awesome.
That's like a standing ovation.
Oh, running vomit.
Yeah.
I saw them last night at the Troub.
Yeah, they're a good band.
Amazing.
Really good band. So have you ever been completely surprised by sitting in the front row and watching the audience watch your stuff and go, hey, that was funny, or hey, that was scary, or
I sit there,
where they miss it?
Oh, I sat sat there. I remember the first screening of Cabin Fever. Like, Jordan Ladd is very dramatic. She goes, that guy asked for her help. We lit him on fire. And the whole place burst out laughing. And I was like, that was a very dramatic moment. You are mocking my words. But that's what's fun about watching with a live audience is you can't direct them. There's no predicting what they're going to do. And I went to see Hostel, I remember the first weekend, at the Magic Johnson Cinema. Because, like, that's like, if you go see it with that audience, they are going to react. And this woman, like, when the girls got run over, was like, he's like, yeah, run me. And I was like, screaming, like, run those bitches over. Like, this woman with, like, her 2-year-old. And she looked at me, and I was, like, the only, like, white dude in the theater. And I was like, I directed this movie. And she goes, may I give you a hug? It was this thing. I was like, yes. And so I'm hugging this woman in the theater, and she just goes, thank you. You understand me. This is the second time I've seen it. I was like, it's Saturday. It opened yesterday. She goes, yeah, I know. I seen it last night. I'm going to see it again tomorrow.
Oh, my God.
I was like, wow, this is amazing. And then I remember I went to another theater, and I realized, like, people were bringing their kids. Yeah. And you'd watch the mother was there with her eyes closed, and a little 3-year-old kid with her eyes just wide open watching eyeballs get cut out. And yeah. I thought, wow, this is awkward.
Those kids are going to be in therapy for a long time.
Those kids can watch Hemlock Grove on Netflix this weekend. Right. They're now 9.
I got to tell you, this genre is so easy to screw up, the horror genre. I mean, it just seems like I get excited about every horror movie that comes along, and probably 75% of them, by the time they have to reveal what's really happening or whatever, it just falls apart. It just seems like it's really difficult to do well, and you do yours.
Yes, because a lot of people think it's easy to do.
Yes.
I think that's the mistake.
But you do this genre perfect.
Well, thank you very much. Well, the hard thing, it's very easy to come up with half a movie.
Right.
I have an idea.
And not the second half.
And not the second half. Like, you can come up with a premise for a horror movie and go 2/3 of the way through. And what I find a lot of people do is they're like, well, you know what, if the audience thinks it's good enough, like, you've given them enough scares, then you can just wrap it up and nobody really cares. And I was like, I care. I was the guy that, and that's when you talk to James Wan, who directed The Conjuring, and Rob Zombie, and Alex Aja, who did Piranha 3D, and so, like we all really care, like, about every single shot. And for me, when I judge a horror movie based on how well they execute the idea throughout the film. You know, some people are saying, oh, this movie's great, and I go, okay, but what about the last third? And they're like, yeah, it kind of fell apart, but it was good. I go, well, then it's not good.
Then it's not great, yeah.
Because the writer is lazy. And I talked about that with Quentin a lot. Like, what was great was Quentin was the one who's like, I believe in you, and I read the script for Hostel, and he's like, I think you can do better. He's like, I think you're being lazy. And he sat down with me.
Wow.
And we went through every scene, and he goes, I'm going to be like movie BS police. He goes, if your characters, he's like, okay, this guy just can't get a gun and start shooting, because if there was a gun, I wouldn't know how to use it. You wouldn't know how to use it. Like, I'm going to make sure that you're not just using movie convenience. That was his phrase. And we went through the whole thing. He's like, okay, what would really happen here? I'm like, well, the guy wouldn't get out. He'd get killed. He's like, well, then he gets killed. Mm. You can't just have people.
That's how it works. Yeah.
People get, that's it. You have to stay true to
create
what
a world,
really happen.
You have to live in it.
And, you know, when I'm sitting there thinking, like, obviously I don't want to let myself down, but I was like, wow, if I can get this past Quentin, and he wasn't giving me ideas, like, we talk ideas through, but he really pushed me to kind of be the logic police and not cop out at any point all the way up through the last shot of the movie.
Well, I got to tell you, it's fantastic. Hemlock Grove, season 2 is this Friday on Netflix. Season 1 is still,
it's all there.
Still there. So you can catch up between now
you
and Friday.
Double,
binge watch
or
that.
You can just double binge. You can start on Friday and do 23 episodes
in
a row.
Like
you can go from 0 and stay up 24 hours.
And then just check yourself into some sort of facility.
Yeah. I'd love to hear from someone on Twitter if they actually have never seen the show and they decide to 24-hour binge watch it.
Oh, you know
it.
They will. This audience will for sure. Eli, thank you for coming in.
Yeah,
it was such
come
a pleasure.
Back when Green Inferno,
yes,
yeah,
in September, I would love to.
We're such big fans, and we appreciate that you coming in and spending time with us today.
No, it's my pleasure.
Thank you.
I'm Lisa May with K Rock Traffic.
He's not even here. Yeah, it was not his fault, Kevin.
Did not.
That's why he's here,
Kevin.
All right, people, stop it,
Kevin.
That's why he's here. So we have somebody
so
to blame
him.
Everything on. Right.
I see.
It's 7:55. Time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Thanks again to Eli Roth for stopping by. What a
nice
guy.
Great.
Yeah.
And we didn't even talk about what a good actor he is. I thought he was great in Inglourious Basterds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me
too. He did
too.
A great job. I do want to hit again real quickly because I know there's a ton of Hemlock Grove fans out there who are listening this morning. So I wanted to give them the heads up. They are doing a special Hemlock Grove fan event tomorrow night at the Cinerama Dome in Hollywood. So I want to give you the details on how you can go if you want to. You got to go to Hemlock Grove, at Hemlock Grove on Twitter. Tell them why you are a huge fan of the show, and they will enter you into a chance to score an invite to the special fan event that is tomorrow night. So if you're a fan of the show, it's at Hemlock Grove. Hit them up with a tweet. Tell them why you love the show, and you may get invited to this special fan event they're doing tomorrow night. Be pretty cool.
Thanksgiving. White meat. Thanksgiving. Dark meat. Or will be carved.
We gotta get. I wonder if he's still here. We gotta get him to do one of those for us.
Kevin and Bean.
I didn't think about that.
Two chuckleheads who are lucky to have a job on the radio. The world famous K-Rock.
Just when you thought of listening, don't.
Alternative first.
George Clooney doesn't like the tabloids.
What?
Really? He's especially mad right now. And I thought this was kind of crappy. And I read the story when I was over in the UK. And I said, this seems bad. And it turns out it was completely manufactured. They ran a story that his future mother-in-law is opposed to his upcoming marriage to her daughter because of religious grounds. They said the mother is a strict Druze, which is a strict Middle Eastern religious sect, and you're only allowed to date inside your religion in that sect, and she is furious, and she's against the marriage, and she doesn't condone it. And they went on and on. And he came out in USA Today and said none of that is true.
Really? It was completely made up?
Amal's mother is not Druze. She's not a member of this sect. She's not been to Beirut, as they claimed. She's not against the marriage. None of that is true. He said he's used to the Daily Mail making up stories. He said they do it several times a week.
It's worse there than here, right?
They seem the press? less concerned with facts, the tabloids in the UK. So far, stories that have run say Amal's pregnant, which she's not, George Clooney says, that the marriage is going to take place on the set of Downton Abbey, which it's not, that I'm running for office. And he said, but what concerned about this is for a paper trying to exploit religious differences and intolerance for the use of an entertainment story is at the very least negligent, he said, and more appropriately dangerous. And I think he's got a point. There's enough religious fervor in the world right now that you don't need to stir up any foment and have people angry at each other about religious differences. So looks like he's got a point.
How many people in this world do you think would go, my daughter's going to marry George Clooney? No way.
That's unacceptable. She can do better.
Right.
J.K. Rowling's in the news. Put out a new short story about Harry Potter and his friends on her website, Pottermore.
That'd be amazing, wouldn't it?
.com yesterday. Well, it is amazing, Rodney. She actually did it. It's about the it's about Potter and Ginny and Ron and Hermione all going back to Hogwarts after they're grown. They're in their 30s now, and they're attending the Quidditch World Cup together. And we learn that Harry's now working for the Ministry of Magic, and he's got a new degree of magic that he's earned. How did he earn? Well, people are speculating. Maybe we'll find out more about that.
Wow.
Look, it would be genius to let what's the kid's name that played? Daniel Radcliffe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let him get a little bit older.
Have a drug habit?
No.
No.
Then come back, revisit that storyline, and launch a whole new series of movies. Like an older, grown-up, sort of badass Jason Bourne Harry Potter. He's like, kicking ass.
He's in jail.
Casting spells.
Right? No.
He's in jail. Why would he be in jail?
I don't know. I'm just trying to go with you.
Why are bad story. Things supposed
just to trying to
Harry.
Help it along. Because he's growing up and bad things happen to young actors.
Kevin knows. When you grow up, you go to jail.
Apparently.
Drama queen.
Hey, Saturday night, 8 p.m., Kevin Smith and I are doing a live performance of our comic book, Batman 66 Meets the Green Hornet. The second issue is now in stores. It was released last week, and we did it for the first one, and people have asked us if we're going to do it for the second one. We are. We're going to do a live performance with music and sound effects. It's like a staged reading of the comic, and we don't take it very seriously. You'll have a good time, and maybe you'll even be in it.
Why?
It's Saturday at 8 at the Improv on Melrose. You go to improv.com for more details.
Why?
Because it's a good time, Rodney.
People demand it, Rodney.
Today's celebrity birthday is Nigel Lithgow. He's the judge on So You Think You Can Dance, also producer of that show. And was also part of the American Idol team back in the day. 65 years old. Chris Cooper, 63. Jimmy Smits is 59. 59. Tom Hanks is 58. Courtney Love is 50. Jack White, singer, guitarist, genius, 39 years old. And Fred Savage, who was, of course, from the Wonder Years. Now,
lead singer of the B-52s.
Nope. Fred Schneider, very different guy. Fred's now a very successful TV director. He is 38. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Yesterday, we played a song for you called 4th of July, which is, I don't know, just awesome. Only awesome. We played it for you twice. I know 4th of July was last week, but we sort of just discovered the song, and it was by somebody named Rosa G. Well, it turns out Rosa G is not actually Rosa G. It's somebody by the name of Carla, who we have on the phone right now. Hi, Carla.
Hey, what? How are you guys?
Very good. Thank you. How are you?
Good. Great. Thank you so much for showing that track.
How did you come up with that song?
Yeah, it's amazing.
And let me just ask before we go any further, did you do it bad on purpose?
Both. It was kind of like both. Yeah, it was kind of both. Because, you know, my partner, we were producing it, and I was like, you know, there's nothing really on the fourth right now. Like, we need to have, like, something, some catchy thing.
There's,
you know,
Halloween music. There's, yeah, Christmas music for years.
Exactly. So I was like, let's think about something. And then we're like, he loves rap. So I was like, okay, cool. And I love characters in comedy, of course.
Right. But you pretty much, you sort of rap talk through it. Were you a little worried about that?
I mean, not too much. It's just like,
you just figured you'd just go for it.
Yeah, just go for it. I mean, it was, and the character was so, like, you know, it was kind of cool because she loves holidays. She's just all about holidays, and she loves rap. You know, Rosa G is all about that stuff.
Sure. But, you don't have to tell me about Rosa G. She and I go way back.
Yeah, exactly. I see her like a sister, like Napoleon Dynamite's sister. That's how, with a little bit of, like, Latina thing in there. You know, she just happens to have that, but... she's just very, very much in love with the holiday. So hopefully she's going to come up with something too.
Carla, how many
another holiday.
How many different projects have you done with this Rosa G character?
Right now, I mean, I've done some on stage with her, but mm-hmm. never like on
you do
video.
You do stand up?
I do more sketch comedy. Actually,
sketch comedy, okay.
And some improv, yeah. So yeah, but right now with video, it was just her, like. So this is like, we were at all not expecting anything, to be honest with you. I was just doing them as fun. I mean, I have a YouTube channel where I put my stuff and all that stuff. So it was just like a super surprise.
So you're just doing it to be funny and people found it. And I don't know, there were 300,000 views before we found it.
The internet, I guess. It's
this is crazy.
All
right, I want to play the song, and I do want to warn you ahead of time that we added a Lisa May verse.
Because I'm the resident rapper.
Because
here.
Lisa raps.
Right.
She brings it hardcore. West Coast for life. So here's 4th of July starring Carla as Rosa G and Lisa May.
Incredible. It's the time of the year again. July 4th is here. Let's start. Love the 4th of July. Love the 4th of July. I do it up. On the 4th of July, love the 4th of July, love the 4th of July. The neighborhood's grilling, chilling outside. Can you feel it? Is that summer glory? When I get to celebrate USA's story. Turn up and day's just starting. I brought a picnic, this cheese is Havarti. It's a holiday, our nation's birthday. Red, white and blue all over the place. It's so hot, I can't believe it. A nice cold drink, you're gonna need it. But I'm fresh, I'm looking real mean, blocking UV SPF 15. Paper plates with patriotic doodles, wave a tiny flag from my pool noodle. Love the 4th of July, love the 4th of July. I do it up big on the 4th of July. Love the 4th of July, love the 4th of July. Sip my soda on the 4th of July. 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 Friends crowd the grill, I know why. Burgers smell delicious, I can't pass by. You take my bun, I'll take yours. Anyone know who brought these fruit skewers? Check my t-shirt, there's an eagle on it. I love the 4th, and you can bet on it. Ask my cousin, ask my aunt. I'm my third cousin, he never fronts. Pledge allegiance to fun in the sun. I'm proud to be American.
Go Lisa!
Don't need no water, don't need no sand. Expressing my dog's anal glands. Musical theater, bad TV. My hot dog bun is gluten-free. They'll think I'm square, prude, or meek. 4th of July isn't butthole week. Independence Day. I make it rain cause I'm Lisa May. Independence Day. I'm all turned up, I'm Lisa May. Yeah, 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 bitch.
You're Rosa G.
The 4th of July. I do it up. On the 4th of July, love the 4th of July, love the 4th of July. Pop the firework, got me pipping hard to the sky. 4th of July. 4th of July. 4th of July. 4th of July. Can I just say
Okay, cool.
I'm not sure that you nailed all of those fourths.
I love that you insisted on making it fourth. I thought that was brilliant.
I know. Oh, my gosh. That was amazing. That was hilarious.
Well,
hilarious.
We're huge fans of it. We'll tweet out the YouTube video again of 4th of July. Carla, you do good work as Rosa G.
Okay. Thank you guys so much.
You bet. Thanks for coming on with us today.
Okay. So
I went to see Transformers.
Greatest movie ever.
Age of Extinction.
Best.
And I knew when I was going that it wasn't going to be as good as the other three. I mean, let's be honest. We all saw the trailer. And you go, it's probably not going to be that good.
I think we have a Transformer.
Yeah. But I went anyway because I had some time. I felt like going to a movie. I like going to movies.
Right?
It's an action movie. It's plenty loud.
So I do like loud.
I was happy with that.
It's good loud.
But I got to tell you, I'm so glad Ralph went. And the King of Mexico as well, because it's hard to describe how bad this movie is.
The critics have not been kind. Let me give you just a couple quick blurbs from some reviews. And, you know, you can take critics or leave them for whatever they're worth. But they really were spot on with this one. You'll leave the Cineplex feeling bludgeoned, wrote David Hiltbrand from the Philadelphia Inquirer. It is punishingly long at 2 hours and 45 minutes.
Yeah, it's almost 3 hours long. In its defense, it does only seem like six.
From the Boston Globe, all shot and edited as if by a Cuisinart. In short, the cinematic equivalent of being tied in a bag and beaten with pipes.
Wow.
Yeah. It's got great special effects, but everything else about it blows.
Even the special effects are random and hard to comprehend and just endless and numbing. Bay at his worst, writes Time magazine. Is like an attention deficit kid banging his toy bots together in the basement rec room.
It did seem like they gave the whole franchise to a high school film class. I mean, it was really, really horrible to the point where I think it may be one of the worst sequels ever. And I might need to see it again.
Because
it's so entertainingly awful.
So laughingly bad.
It is so bad.
I don't think it's one of the best, worst sequels ever.
Because
it's starting, the original first three films that it's starting off from were not good.
Oh, I see. So the difference
is. It's less of a fall from grace, I think, than a lot of sequels where the first one was great and then you're really disappointed with this one. This was just the furthering decline of this franchise, but I was surprised at how little they seemed to care about dialogue or plot or anything resembling any sort of logic that would tie everything together. At least do a pass. Just try.
Just give it an effort, yeah. 1-800-520-1067. We want to know what you thought about the movie and the points that you thought were bad. My favorite line, I think, may have been... Well, there's two. One is Mark Wahlberg.
Cade Yeager. He's Cade Yeager.
He's on his...
The minute I see Cade Yeager in a script, I'm like, I'm out.
Yeah. He's on his farm out in the middle of nowhere, and he's an inventor. Mark Wahlberg, don't you know?
Sure.
He's an inventor. He makes robots. So he finds a truck and he drives it home. And for some reason, some secret part of the government is attacking all of these Transformers. You don't know why. You just go, okay, well, it seems like it's...
They've taken the technology from the bad guys and they worked up their own now. And they don't want other Transformers to be out
So
in
they find
public.
Out that Mark Wahlberg has Optimus Prime in his barn. And they show up to search the place, and they say, search everything. And Mark Wahlberg says, you can't search my property without a warrant. And I swear to God, the guy, who's the actor, Ralph, that plays...
It plays Savoy? I don't know. I can't remember his name.
My face is my warrant.
Yeah.
Oh, he did not.
That was said in a movie.
My face is my warrant.
My face is my warrant. Later in the movie, they said, I may have started the apocalypse, but... You brought your family to it, so bad parenting. Now, I know for a fact that they probably thought that they were injecting humor, because that can really work. Like, for example, in Iron Man. I thought Iron Man was great. It was also really funny.
It was. They hit it out of the park with that
right.
one.
Right. So,
yeah.
Like, when he was trying to learn how to fly it and he shot into the wall, that was funny as hell. And I obviously that's what they were going for with these lines, but they were terrible. Line after line, I kept thinking, oh, I need to remember that one because that's horrible. And then another one would come along and erase the last one from my memory because I have limited amount of data space.
Even the robots, I mean, they weren't immune. The humans had horrible dialogue, but the robots, too. John Goodman is Hound. That's a bad idea, but I'm all about bad ideas.
Yeah. Yeah, it was shocking.
That hurts.
It was shocking.
Another Goodman line. Take that, bitch. You're dead.
Isn't that crazy? You just go, this can't be the, nobody signed off and said, this script is perfect the way it is. Well, let's shoot.
Wahlberg's got another one. These alien guns kick ass.
Yeah.
I would love that one.
Yeah, that happened.
That's great.
Yep. Let's go to Brandon in Santa Monica, then we'll take your calls, 1-800-520-1067. First, you're going to have to admit to going to see it, which we all did.
Right. So you're amongst friends. It's like a self-help group.
Right. We're all regretting it, but what did you think?
Hello?
Yes. Hi, sorry.
Hey, a couple things I just couldn't understand is, first of all, why did a Bugatti Veyron, which is one of the Transformers, which is a German car, have a Japanese accent?
Yeah,
I couldn't understand. They never clarified that at all. The second thing was, first of all, why did the why did those random dinosaur Transformers just, like, instinctively trust Optimus Prime?
Yeah, that made no sense whatsoever.
You couldn't tell who was fighting who because they didn't, like, distinct them at all, so you couldn't tell, like, whether... And, like, how did the dinosaurs know which the bad guys were? So they were just chomping them up. It made no sense.
It was bizarre how Optimus Prime decided that he needed to fight these guys, but I didn't even understand fully who the dinosaurs were.
No, and again, how did they know who the good guys and bad guys were? They're just running through the streets just destroying Transformers.
Yeah. Optimus Prime rides him like a horse. He's got a bit and the reins. It's absurd.
Yeah, it's pretty terrible. I mean, you really have to have left a theater and realize just how, like, as a whole, how bad it was, and then you can laugh. But midway, you're just so confused.
Yeah.
I just didn't get it.
And I got angrier and angrier as the film went on.
Yeah. I was angry for a while, but then it came back around. I was like, this is really bad.
Like,
And I have room for really bad in my life.
Fortunately, they gave you 3 hours to kind of give you the whole cycle.
Yeah,
you
know, it was...
All the emotions.
There was another review that said they could have cut out 45 minutes just randomly in any part of the movie, and it would have made just as much sense.
That's true.
But would have been shorter. All right. Thank you for the call, Brandon. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
1-800-520-1067. What went wrong with that movie? We'll talk. We were talking about, by the way, we have Adam Carolla on the way with this week in race. We're talking about Transformers Age of Extinction and how unbelievably bad it was.
$165 million.
That means a lot of people went to see it. But how many of those people do you think will go back?
Well, you couldn't. Who has that kind of time in their lives?
How many of those people do you think will even rent and or buy the DVD?
I don't watch a really good movie for 3 hours.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, that's tough, actually.
Yeah. Three hours is a long, long time, but especially if it's a horrible movie like this one. Let's start with Casey. Good morning, Casey from Irvine. Hi. Hello.
Casey? Hello?
Anonymous. Like, hi, my name is Casey, and I saw
Transformers. Yeah. Yeah, it's a support group that we have going today.
We feel for you, Casey.
It's so bad. I mean, from the moment the movie started, I was like, oh, it'll get better. But it did.
Yeah, I think we all thought when the action kicks in, then we could forget about all this horribleness and just enjoy that. But you couldn't even enjoy that.
Yeah, I think the worst was hearing, like, Mark Wahlberg with a huge Boston accent going, oh, I think we found a Transformer.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Look, stop. Mark Wahlberg, to me, is a great actor depending on the role. In Lone Survivor, he was fantastic. In this, he's terrible.
He was great in Ted.
He was great in Ted. Agreed. But I don't know that anybody could have necessarily
These
saved this
trucks
movie.
Are going to pay for your college.
Let's go to Brian in Los Angeles. Hi there. Hello, Brian.
Brian,
yes.
Go.
Yes.
Hi.
Hi.
We would like all phone calls to start with, my name is Brian, and I went and saw the Transformers.
Okay. My name is Brian, and I went to go see Transformers.
Hi, Brian.
Hi, Brian. And what did you think?
It was awful. Horrible.
Because?
The main thing I can remember is a scene with Kelsey Grammer.
Mm-hmm. Kelsey Grammer was bad.
Yeah, he was talking to, I think the name was Lockdown, the bad Transformer.
Right.
So Kelsey Grammer's line is, on Earth we have a saying, the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Oh, right.
And the Transformer literally says, I have a singing too. I don't care.
Yeah, that was a line.
Yeah.
What is that?
That's terrible is what that is.
That's, you should have punched yourself in the face right then for sitting in that audience.
I checked out and my friends were like just laughing.
I was gonna, I came very close to leaving, and I don't leave very many movies, but then it started getting so bad that I couldn't. I was somehow drawn to it.
Lockdown also had the line, Prime's taking my trophy case. He will feel my wrath.
Yeah. Yeah, that happened too.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Let's go to Daniel in San Diego. Hi.
Hey, my name is Daniel, and I went to go see Transformers.
Hi, Daniel.
I am ashamed. Hi, she's a bay. Hi, guys.
Hi, there.
Before I start, Rob, love the comic. I love the comic, the first issue.
Thanks, sir.
Loved it. All right, buddy. Yeah, it was a boring movie from the beginning to the end. I fell asleep halfway through, woke up the last 20 minutes, and wanted to go back to sleep. I really didn't see much of it.
How do you fall asleep in a movie like the Transformers?
I wish I could have slept.
The action was just—it's been done, you know. It's just too much of the same thing, and even my kids kept hitting me, and I'm like, "Let me sleep," and they just kept hitting me, and I'm just like, "I was just not into it." The dialogue sucked. It was just an awful movie.
Yeah. In every way. Yeah. Thank you, Daniel, for the call. We appreciate it. Took his kids, though.
Should we get the female perspective? Christina on line six, I think.
Sure.
Hi.
Hi, Christina.
Hi, my name is Christina, and yes, I want to see Transformers.
Hi, Christina.
I wish I had those 3 hours back.
Yeah.
And I also told away some money. So you mentioned one line, bad line after the other. So one specific line stood out for me. It was when they were rescuing Mark Wahlberg's character's daughter.
Right.
And the boyfriend said, I'm not here to save your daughter. I'm here to save my girlfriend.
Right. Didn't he say
same person?
Yeah, same person, yeah. It's his girlfriend.
Yeah.
That whole running dialogue between Mark Wahlberg and the boyfriend.
Them bickering and everything. I don't like you. You're not good for my daughter.
And then remember when he's like, he's a car driver and he's like, I've never driven this good. I feel like I've stepped it up to a whole nother level.
Yeah.
What was that?
It was just bad, guys.
It was bad.
But that Nicola Peltz who plays the daughter.
Yeah.
Pretty good deal right there.
Yeah, I agree. I agree, but come on.
So she said, there's a missile in the living room.
Yeah, that happened. Let's go to Dylan. Hi, Dylan.
Hey, how's it going? My name's Dylan. I progressively gave my $9 to Michael Bay.
Hi, Dylan.
Hi, Dylan.
what'd you hate about it?
Okay, so pretty much three friends and I decided to get super big before, so there's no way it wouldn't be at least bearable. We get there, and about 2 hours in, we all look at each other at the same time, realize we need to leave. One of my friends gets up and screams in the middle of the whole theater, F you, Michael Bay. we walk out. I think the worst line was probably when they're just like, it's Megatron reincarnated. I couldn't deal with it.
Yeah.
It was horrible.
You know, I think it might make us all feel better if we say that in unison, what you and your friend said in the theater together, shall we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
let's do it. F you, Michael Bay!
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53.
Was it Bean?
No, I don't think it was.
Oh, all right.
We're going to do a new feature tomorrow. I'm very excited about
it. A new game. Was it Bean?
Was it Bean?
Yeah. Right now it's 8:53. Adam Carolla with the This Week in Rage coming up just after the top of the hour. But Ralph is here now with the Show Biz Beat.
Once again, talking about my comic book, Batman 66 Meets the Green Hornet, issue 2 in stores everywhere right now. A lot of folks were asking how they could get myself and to Kevin Smith to autograph it. Here's your chance if you want to come out Saturday night at 8 p.m. over at the Improv on Melrose. Saturday at 8, you can get an autographed copy of the comic book as a special gift for coming out to watch us perform the comic live.
No.
With our Comic-Con theater where we get up on stage and Kevin and I act out the entire comic book for you.
Oh, God, no.
We did it with the first issue, and it was a lot of fun, so we're going to do it for each and every issue for the next five issues that come out. So Saturday night, 8 p.m., come out and join us and get your autographed comic book. And you might even get up on stage because we do pull people from the audience to play, you know, lesser roles like Commissioner Gordon and stuff like that.
No!
Or not. It's always an option. Courtney Love, actress!
I'm sorry?
Courtney Love, actress!
She was good in the Larry Flint movie,
great,
right?
In the People versus Larry Flint. Man on the Moon, too. The Jim Carrey story about Andy Kaufman.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I saw that one.
That was great. Yeah. She was also good in that. She is returning to acting, joining the cast of Sons of Anarchy, season 7, for what's being cast as a pivotal storyline.
That scares me because I love that show so much.
I was thinking how great Courtney Love playing like a trashy biker chick who like spits and drinks and she's like whacked out of her head and she drives a motorcycle and everything. It's like, yeah, that's good casting.
It does fit.
That's not the role she's playing.
What?
She'll be playing a straight shooting preschool teacher. That's not how I envisioned her.
Not at all.
Hey, Kurt Sutter, are you listening? What are you doing?
She will play the preschool teacher of Jack's eldest son, Abel.
Hmm.
And she takes a special interest in Abel, which creates a conflict with
Kane.
Drea DiMatteo's character, Wendy. So that's her storyline, apparently. But casting against type there with Courtney Love. Look, Kurt knows what he's doing.
He does.
We're just going to have to trust him.
I will. I can't wait for that to come back.
Brody Jenner of The Hills has a shocking revelation. Whew. You might want to sit down for this one.
Oh, no.
He said he revealed on his latest podcast that reality television isn't always real.
What?
Yeah. He said he never dated Lauren Conrad during their time on the show, but pretended to be hot and heavy with her for the sake of the show. Brody admitted he did spend some quality boning time with Kristen Cavallari from the show, however, but it was years before they worked together on the show, so it doesn't really count.
Huh. So you're telling me that's not all real?
Reality television, not always real.
Oh, that's a
sorry.
That's
sorry.
Disappointing,
shock.
Right?
I didn't mean to,
wow.
to burst your bubble.
Way
like
to
that.
Go, man.
And my my hot fudge holy moly video of the week.
Yeah! Hot fudge holy moly! What's going on?
Holy moly, the worst part about being a boy band, being in a boy band, is when you're no longer a boy, and you can't really do it anymore. Got to see the video over on TMZ.com of Bobby Brown pretty much collapsing, trying to do a dance routine with New Edition.
Really?
Yeah, he was performing in Mississippi last week with New Edition.
Physically collapsing?
Bobby can barely keep up with the other guys during a dance routine, and then when he's finished, he doubles over and has to walk off the stage because he is just gassed.
That's awesome.
He is no longer a boy in that boy band. He just okay.
Wouldn't they rehearse? I mean, you think he didn't need to rehearse?
I don't know.
Get in some kind of shape?
Practice? Practice?
Wow.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Fred Savage from the Wonder Years, 38 years old today. Singer-guitarist Jack White is 39. Jack, by the way, announced he's releasing some new Dead Weather music. Dead Weather album in 2015. You can look forward to it. Two of the tracks were already put out as a 7-inch vinyl single back in January. The next two will be available now on another vinyl 45. If you're a member of Jack's Vault series, you can pick it up. But everything will be available soon as a digital download, and you'll get the whole album in 2015.
He's a genius.
He produces a lot of material.
Yep.
Courtney Love's 50. Tom Hanks is 58 years old. Jimmy Smits turns 59. Chris Cooper, 63 years old. And Nigel Lithgow, producer and judge of So You Think You Can Dance, 65. Dave loves that show.
He does, yeah. I do, too.
I don't watch it a lot. I can dance.
But you don't dance or die. That's me.
Sure. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the shabby.
We welcome to the show Adam Carolla, as we do. Hi, Adam.
Yeah, baby.
Adam, of course, has, 75 things going on every single time we talk to him. The Adam Carolla Show Live podcast at the Gas Lamp Restaurant and Bar in Long Beach. Two shows. A week from Saturday is sold out at 7:30, and then a week from Saturday at 10, he's added a second show. You can get those tickets at adamcarolla.com. He's also going to be at the Irvine Improv, a new location in the Irvine Spectrum. That's Thursday, July 31st. And he's going to have a Mangria tasting party at Treasure Island Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas, Friday, August 29th. Always busy. Yeah. Name of the book is President Me, The America That's in My Head, which is a very funny book. I'm making my way slowly through it, Adam. I'm to about chapter 3.
That is slow.
And at this rate, I will be done by 2015.
Excellent.
Well, listen, by the next World Cup, right?
Yeah, exactly. Adam Carolla is here for This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Well, starting at 3 and working our way up to number 1. First off, I had a chance to interview Brad Williams. And he told me about your adventures in Brazil.
Yeah, he came with us to Brazil. That was awesome.
And, he explained to me that he got rolled. Although, it's weird. He's a young man, and he's under 3 foot tall. So he wasn't familiar with the term rolled, which is, I learned from watching years of Beretta, which means being mugged on the street.
Right. But
I realized when you don't tell a dwarf he was rolled.
Yeah, because it means something completely different.
Yes, I think it brings back a lot of horrible imagery, like his grandfather being tossed across a ring or something, or at a bowling alley and slid toward the pins or something. But anyway, he got mugged. And he told, as I'm sure he told on the show, that, he had the fake phone and the fake wallet. And he said they told him, pack the fake phone,
yeah.
Pack the fake wallet.
I brought a fake phone and a fake wallet as well, just in case.
Can I say this?
Yes, please.
When you have a country mm-hmm. and people are coming to your country to visit, to celebrate and enjoy your country, and you're giving them a laundry list of things to do, it's gut check time for you and your country. Do you know what I mean? Like when you're saying, have you gotten your recent malaria shots?
Right, they need that.
Bring a fake phone, bring a fake wallet. Don't look our dogs in the eye.
Right.
When you have a laundry list of things not to do, I'm guessing when you go to the Netherlands, they go, enjoy yourself.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Right. Yeah. So I'm just saying, maybe what should happen is whoever's running whatever country should attempt to come to their country as a tourist. You know, put a fanny pack on.
I like it.
And some Bermuda shorts and some sunglasses where the shade flips up. And you sit there, and when you hear the laundry list of horrible things that could happen to you in your country, you know it's time for a change.
Adam, they actually said, the government came out and said, if you get mugged, don't scream. Because it could make it a lot worse. They might kill you.
Right.
Said that.
I'm just saying, yeah, that's my point. Like, if you went to Disneyland, would they give you a long list of, well, when you go on the Matterhorn, keep your arms in there because someone got their shoulder torn off and was attacked by bats when they went through the tunnel.
Nope.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
The president of every country once a year should travel to his country and hear the laundry list. And by the way, number two, Los Angeles, ours is pure and simple. It's barbed wire around the freeway signs, little Ethiopia, no Little Italy, and the bumper stickers on every municipal vehicle that says stop senior abuse.
Yeah.
That's basically our warning signs of, not a great city to hang out in.
But it's not quite as bad as Brazil or extreme.
No.
Yeah.
No. I just can't believe that somebody is trying to be helpful by telling you, when you get mugged,
yep.
please don't scream.
Yep.
If you'd like to defecate, that's an option.
But do it quietly.
Do it silent but deadly. And number one, I was talking to somebody about, my partner on the show, Allison Rosen, fertility clinics and all that. I've been through it. I know, I think Ralph's been through it, right?
I have as well.
Dr. Drew, you've been through it.
Yeah.
Everyone's been through it. I had this very harsh realization. I never thought about this before, but frankly, almost every guy I know has been through this clinic, and we've all been sent to the room with the basket of porn. There is going to be an entire generation of children who were raised while their dad was looking at pictures of Jenna Jameson and whacking off.
Yeah, well.
Well, just think about it cosmically. From the last 200 million years, daddy was on top of mommy, presumably thinking of mommy. I mean, of course you close your eyes and wander every once in a while, but at least you were there. There's going to be whole generations of kids where dads were somewhere else in a second floor strip mall and not even looking at a picture of mommy.
No.
You know what? This is why moms need to take very provocative pictures of themselves to supply the guy. So just cosmically, they're not conceiving to a picture that has Ron Jeremy in it.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, I went to a hospital, and they had Backdoor Women 7 or something like that. And I was like, this is owned by the hospital.
That must have been a pretty good run. Like, I mean, in terms of like, look, somebody's got to go out and dispose of these spent syringes. Someone else has to go and pick up some porn. Okay, boss. I got that one.
I'll take the porn one.
Yeah, don't worry. I got petty cash. Ooh, I might have something in my car, as a matter of fact. Let me look.
Yeah, good times. Adam, thank you very much for coming on the show. We appreciate it.
Always a good time.
And again, you can always get all information and tickets at adamcarolla.com. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:33. Ralph is here with the final look at the Showbiz Beat.
Before I give you the beat, how about I give you some tickets? Yeah, I know you. That's why you listen to me, just to use me, because I give you stuff. I'm just a whore for your amusement.
You are a whore, that's true.
That is true. I've got passes to give away to the special K-Rock screening of The Purge Anarchy. Dun, dun, dun!
That looks scary.
July the 15th at the AMC Burbank 16, we are having a special K-Rock screening of the film, of course, the sequel to the wildly popular film The Purge. This one, a young couple in their car on the way home on the night of The Purge. The car breaks down. Then they're in the streets. Then what? Then what do you do?
Then bad.
Ugh, that Purge.
Then
I don't know
you
why.
You are all going to die tonight.
I don't know why we ever let that law pass.
Well, I don't think it's... I believe it's fiction.
No, it's real.
Oh, I didn't know.
The U.S. government says there's one night of the year where no laws. You can do whatever you want.
It's a documentary?
Yes.
Huh.
Then we all get purged. Movies and theaters everywhere July the 18th, but we're having a special screening on the 15th. Call me now, won't you? 1-800-520-1067. You will get a pair of passes if you're one of the first five callers to get through at that phone number.
You are all going to die tonight.
Comic-Con!
That's later this month, isn't it?
Oh, it's right around the corner. I can taste it. I can taste the Comic-Con.
What does it taste like, Ralph?
Mm-hmm. Deliciousness. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a great event. I am moderating a panel that is a tribute to the 1960s Batman TV series.
Your life just keeps getting better.
In Hall H, it's going to be me, Adam West, Burt Ward, TV's Catwoman Julie Newmar, and we'll be talking about the new DVD and Blu-ray release of the series that comes out later this year.
Which you've complained about for 15 years.
They're finally doing it. They're finally getting around to it. All remastered prints, all the every episode. It's going to be a little piece of heaven. But the reason I was thinking of Comic-Con is because I just got word that there's going to be a ton of cool musical acts.
Oh, really?
Down there as well, yeah. And it's kind of become this phenomenon. It's like a pop culture explosion. It's not just comic books and geek stuff anymore. Linkin Park will be headlining the first ever MTVU Fandom Awards and the MTV Fan Fest. Huh. Both will be held at Petco Park Thursday, July the 24th, MTV announced. So that's pretty cool.
That's where the Padres play, and it's right downtown, right across
the street from the convention
center.
Yeah,
it's perfect.
Also slated to appear over the course of the Comic-Con weekend will be G-Eazy, MGMT, and Grimes, reports Billboard. So it could be pretty cool.
I'm tired of everybody jumping on the bandwagon after I was there in the early days.
Sure.
No one cared.
Now, there will be an MTV party on an actual aircraft carrier.
Well, that's cool.
The USS Midway, which is docked next to the San Diego Convention Center. So lots of cool stuff going on down that weekend. We'll be down there broadcasting live Thursday and Friday. So if you're going to be in San Diego at the Comic-Con, come by and see us. Speaking of comics, this is pretty cool. They've announced a new superhero adding the cast of The Arrow. The new season of The Arrow will feature The Atom. One of my favorites, Ray Palmer as The Atom.
This is The CW series?
Yes,
Arrow. What's Atom? What's the Atom?
The Atom can shrink down to microscopic size with his special uniform.
Arrow is relatively sort of believable in the real world.
And so is this when Ray Palmer adjusts his belt, which of course has the power of a white dwarf star inside of it. He can shrink his mass as well as his size. He can go down to 6 inches, but still have the weight of a 180-pound man.
Why would you want that?
Because what if I am just jumping off this table and I'm 6 inches tall, but I have the weight of 180 pounds and I hit you in the
crushed.
Jaw?
Oh, I see.
I hit you in the jaw.
You
what
hit
happens?
Me. Okay.
180 pounds hitting you in the jaw.
Yeah.
The entire weight of my body punches your face.
But your hand would be a little tiny hand.
So I'd just put a giant hole in your face then. Yeah, I can't wait. Brandon Routh has been cast to play
Atom.
Who, of course, was Superman in Superman Returns. So he gets to play two superheroes.
How about that?
He's the coolest.
He's no Aquaman, but other than that.
The Atom. I love the Atom. And, of course, Flash is coming, too. Flash is coming.
Sure, same tell me.
And Flash's secret identity, of course, Kevin, is?
I don't know.
Barry Allen, of course.
Sure, Barry Allen.
Yeah, you knew that.
Right.
Justin Bieber, later today, according to TMZ, will be charged with vandalism for egging his neighbor's house.
Finally.
Guilty!
Now, sadly, the L.A. County District Attorney's Office has been debating for months, trying to decide whether to file the case as a misdemeanor or a felony.
Felony, felony, felony.
According to TMZ sources, it will be a misdemeanor charge
Come
of vandalism.
On. What's up with that? So he has to pay a little fine?
I guess. He'll probably get probation and a fine. Bieber will be arraigned today at 1:30 p.m. and will not be present. And this looks like it's just going to be a little nuisance for him. He won't be doing any time.
That's too bad.
It is too bad.
Wouldn't it be funny to picture him telling people in jail why he's there?
Hey, I threw eggs.
I threw some eggs at my neighbor.
You guys better leave me alone. I'll throw eggs at you.
Hey.
Why don't you come over here and take a look at these eggs?
Shia LaBeouf, newly sober, they say, learning how to enjoy life without booze. This weekend, he was seen playing pitcher in a game of softball. Doing an all-American activity like that.
And can't do that accounts, on booze.
By all accounts, yeah, really, that's the only way I can do that. He apparently was sober and sane and didn't punch anybody or didn't do any craziness. So maybe he's all right. Maybe he'll come back.
Hope so.
And I mentioned the casting news for Arrow, casting news for Sons of Anarchy as well. For their final season, Courtney Love joins the cast. She will be playing Ms. Harrison, a straight-shooting preschool teacher of Jax's eldest son, Abel. She takes a special interest in Abel, and that leads to a conflict with Wendy, played by Drea DiMatteo. And so those two will go at it. I wouldn't want to get between those two.
No.
That would be a battle royal right there.
When does that come back? Do you have that information?
Let me see if it says here.
Come on.
It does
Let's get
not.
To that. Let's get to that.
Sorry, I know. It's been a long time coming, hasn't it?
Yes, it has.
And the band Fun, of course, K-Rock band, we play them a bunch here. Andrew Dost, keyboard player for that band, he's got a new gig. He is writing music for dogs.
Yep. Nope.
Yep.
Nope.
It's a thing.
Nope.
You have dog TV in your house, Lisa? Do you subscribe to dog TV?
I don't have dog TV.
I'm stunned. I'm shocked. I'm shocked that your dog doesn't have its own couch in front of a little tiny dog-sized TV.
My dog does listen to the radio.
Of course it does, Lisa.
Right,
yes.
Yeah.
What is dog TV?
Dog TV is a unique network that you can get from DirecTV for just $5 a month.
Oh.
Don't say, oh, as if it's worthwhile.
I'm paying another $5 a month
it's
for
it's TV for dogs.
I'm paying for sports I don't watch.
It's not for people
who... At least
this
is something that I would use.
It's not for people who own pets. This is literally just for the dogs to watch?
Yes, it's
Come
just
on
for the
now.
Dogs. It's a satellite channel that runs peaceful videos and relaxing music so your dog gets mellow while you're out of the house.
Well, think of dogs that have separation anxiety. Oh. This could be great for them.
So Andrew Dost of Fun is writing music for dogs for that network. I approach this composition project differently than I would for human ears.
Oh, really?
Writes Andrew. Really? Because humans listen to music and care.
So humans aren't going to be able to hear this music?
Well, he said, I made sure the range of frequencies and instrumentation were tailored to a dog's unique sense of hearing and kept things musically more level and linear. Yeah. In case you missed the point of the story, it's music for dogs!
Wow.
Someone's paying him to write music for dogs. These are animals that eat their own poop.
That's
and
true.
Drink out of toilets.
That's hard to argue.
Go through garbage.
But they have
we do
really,
not need to compose music for them.
They have really good musical taste.
They
though.
Really do.
Most
dog
taste, yeah.
Actually, they have the same similarities as many of the DJs who work here on K-Rock. Eat their own poop, root through garbage,
yeah,
drink out of the toilet.
Most employees here.
Yep. Today's celebrity birthdays. Fred Savage is 38 years old today. Little Kevin from Wonder Years is all grown up. Now a very popular TV director. Jack White is 39. Courtney Love turns 50. Tom Hanks is 58. Jimmy Smits, 59 years old. Chris Cooper turns 63. And a listener chastised me via email for neglecting to mention it was O.J. Simpson's birthday today.
Hmm.
I don't think we, think we need to
celebrate
to
his birthday. And it concerns me that someone's out there upset because we didn't talk about it.
Yeah, that's weird.
But he is the juice.
I'm the juice. Whatever that is. I just try to be a good guy.
You're a good guy. If nothing else, you're a good guy.
That is one thing we know about him.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on all new Kevin and Bean Show, we have Michael Snyder from the TV Guide.
What you making? Fruitcake!
Talking about the Emmy nominations. We have Dr. Drew on the show.
Not a real doctor.
He is a real doctor. Nope. He is a real doctor. That's a fact.
A real doctor before following his advice.
Carlton Cuse will be on the show tomorrow. Executive producer of The Strain on FX. Which I've seen the first episode of, and it's great.
Listen, I can't take the worms in the eyeballs thing.
So creepy.
Can't do that.
No.
So good.
No.
So good.
Oh, so good.
So good. David Alan Greer will be here. And we're going to talk to Omar Gonzalez from the LA Galaxy. Talk to him about being in the World Cup. And about the LA Galaxy Brazilian Heritage Night, where I believe they're entertaining the entire Brazilian team who has been forced to leave the country.
Did you tell him that you're a member of the U.S. national team?
He saw it happen.
He saw it happen.
Oh,
he saw people shaking my hand and laughed.
He was there when you were being congratulated.
When I was being congratulated for being on the U.S. team, yes.
Yeah, that's great.
And he thought that was quite funny.
He punched you right in the head.
He should have, yes. That's all tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show.